much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
The voice of the people is heard once more.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now we're going to call Afghanistan to see if it's true if the women really shower naked. Boop, 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 boop. Bring, bring. Baka, baka, baka. Yes, this is Kevin and Bean from America. Is it true that your women shower naked? Baka, baka. Sorry, do you speak English? Kevin, let me try. Do you speak English? Baka, baka, baka. Click.
The show sucks.
Almost hard to believe we're in third place.
So what'd you do at these radio stations? On air?
I don't have what is widely considered to be an on-air personality.
Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater.
The only thing left would be radio. That's just for ugly people.
Kevin and Bean, honestly, they're a couple of schmucks.
Screechy and annoying.
And now...
Screw you guys. I hate you. I hate you all. Die, die, die. Go to hell.
Our feature presentation.
And that's what keeps us going.
I feel good.
Sometimes, you know, sometimes you don't feel so great. You wake up, oh, I didn't get enough sleep last night. But people like that are counting on us.
That's why we come in the morning.
That's right.
That is the type of encouragement you need to put on the shoes for another day and go to work.
You're right. Correct, yes. It is funny. It was difficult to understand that at the beginning because I just thought everyone would be having fun. You know what I mean? Like, we'd all be joking, and the audience would be laughing, and everybody would get it.
Just be a big love fest.
Yeah. It took me a while to understand that it doesn't matter what we do. There are going to be people who hate us.
And there should be, by the way.
Of course. But that, at the beginning, I was so naive, it kind of hurt my feelings. I was like, hey, wait a minute. I'm a pretty good guy. Why would you? But
now you embrace it.
So, now, you have to.
You do.
Those are your choices.
You have to almost revel in it.
You either have to quit or embrace the people who are angry at you.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, just like there are some people that you watch on TV because you hate them so much or because you find them so mesmerizing in their badness.
Yes.
There must be the same case with radio. There must be people who go, oh, Kevin Peter's so bad you're not going to believe what they're doing right now.
Yeah, true.
I think.
But the email is the great equalizer for them because they can just slay you.
Yeah,
and I actually have a file that I keep the best complaints in, the most, you know, harsh, ridiculously angry, over-the-top complaints, and I love those. So I've been keeping those for many years in my file.
It must be quite a file.
Might have to print them at some point.
You might have to get a new file cabinet.
Put them up online, yeah.
That would be a very interesting website, is hate mail to the Kevin and Bean Show. I would enjoy that, too.
Hate mail.
I've certainly written my fair share.
I know you have, as have we all. Good morning. It is the Kevin and Bean Show. It's Wednesday, and it's the 17th of Poon.
Plug your hole.
Oh, Homer.
Really?
Come on.
Homer. Homer Simpson. Come on.
I think he was fixing a hole. I think it was that kind of thing. I hope.
We'll have to take your word for it.
Yeah. I hope it was some sort of home improvement project. I don't want anyone to misinterpret to suggest that it was anything dirty.
Right, of course.
Hey, why not get on the air with the Kevin and Bean Show right now and contribute to the badness? It's 1-800-520-1067. That's the toll-free number from wherever you are. If you'd like to be part of the Wednesday morning edition of Kevin and Bean's What a New Nephew.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do, nephew?
When you travel, sometimes you lose track of days. You're not sure where you are or what day it is.
So yeah.
That's why I'm a wee bit confused. All right, here's what we have for being on the air with us today. 1-800-520-1067. It's a set of Skullcandy Full Metal Jacket earbuds and a Skullcandy Swag Pack. Apparently, this package is available at AT&T stores. And, wow, Lisa May is going to be endorsing this product very soon and doing an appearance in an AT&T store, it says here.
Yeah, on Saturday in Torrance.
No kidding.
I tried them out the other day. They're pretty cool. They're the noise-isolating ones, which I never had before. So I was walking around the neighborhood, and I was flipping off lawnmowers and stuff like, you can't wreck my experience.
Yeah, you were flipping off lawnmowers. Not gardeners, but the actual lawnmower.
They wreck it.
I just know that I don't know that there have been very many Lisa May appearances where you can just you get in the car and drive down and meet Lisa. I mean, that's going to be a mob.
Usually they won't pay for the security that I demand.
That's true.
But
of course.
In this case, I will be surrounded by...
But you're doing what you normally do, which is go out in public and in a bikini. That's your...
Oh, that's what I do. That's why I need the security.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
Of course.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Speaking of Lisa, why don't we start with Tack? Tack is on line 8 on the Kevin and Bean Show and has a question for you. Lisa, hi, Tack. Welcome.
What'd it do?
What'd it do?
What'd it do?
What'd it do, Lisa? Lisa.
Yeah.
How are we doing? Quick question for you.
We're doing good.
Quick question. Now, we all know that guys are dogs, right?
Yes.
Once they cheat. Now, a girl's the same way. Now, I have an ex. You know, she broke my heart. She's calling me back. Can you believe it?
If she cheated on you, no.
Yeah.
Don't believe it?
No, don't believe it. If she cheated on one guy and now she's got a new guy, there's a chance she won't cheat on him because he's, you know, taking care of business. But if she cheated on you, I wouldn't believe it.
Then you don't have what it takes to keep her happy.
Exactly.
That's what I'm finding out.
Or no one does. Yeah.
That's true, too.
I would say run for your life.
Yeah, me too.
Cut it clean, huh?
Yep. Absolutely. Wow. Sorry,
this
dude.
This is illuminating. I did not know that this was a policy. Cheat once and you're a cheater forever.
Well, with that person, I think.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
You're the expert.
Hey. Open, so you're going to open up that box every time?
What?
Box?
I heard box.
Yeah, I heard box. Stay away from the box.
She must have gone to the other team. So that's
let's try Matt on line 4 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Matt, good morning. What it do, nephew?
Hey, what it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do, Matt?
Hey, what the hell's wrong with the city of Los Angeles? Have a parade, and these guys are going to probably riot again.
Well, how could they not have a parade?
Having a Laker parade? You think it's a bad idea because it will encourage rioting?
You know, it would be good if the people could celebrate and enjoy this great victory that the city of Los Angeles had. But you know what? There's always going to be those idiots that got to get involved and do something stupid.
The knuckleheads.
Yeah, the knuckleheads, as the chief calls them. All right, but here's the thing. I don't know. I don't think there's going to be riots today, and here's why. Because, A, you don't have the raw excitement of the moment of just winning the title like you did on Sunday night. B, you also have an organized activity that people can go to where there's something for them to do rather than just milling around with thousands of other people with no focus.
And C, it's in the day.
It is in the day. That
Which
is true.
And D, they've done it before, and they don't usually riot. I think they're fine.
We reject you, Matt.
I think they're fine. I'm sure Matt wants it to be, that to not
if
be
you,
true, honestly. Nobody
if you
wants
want
to
riot, go ahead, but you'll be alone.
Nobody
no,
wants
I don't
to,
want
to
riot.
Nah, nobody wants to see that. I don't think it'll happen today.
Let's save this tape for tomorrow when the radio station barely exists because everything around it has been burned to the ground. Let's see if we can play that tape back to show how naive and stupid we are.
All right. Let's go to Skippy, who I think has maybe the most important call of the day. Skippy, hi.
Being zombie ants, I've been having nightmares about them ever since you briefly discussed, and do they exist in Finland? And I hate you, Kevin.
I'm sorry.
Well, he said, I hate you, Kevin.
I hate you, Kevin. Okay.
Yeah. But the funny thing is that Kevin is the one who's been flying the flag of the zombie ants. This time, Skip, it's all him, man. He's the one who's trying to whip people into a needless frenzy about the zombie ants. I, frankly, don't see them as a threat.
Then I don't want to hear about it.
How much he hates you.
Oh, f*** you. Kevin, for folks who have not heard, what is the deal with the zombie ants? They are dead?
They're dead. They walk around for 2 weeks dead, and then eventually their head falls off or something like that.
Oh, my God.
But 2 weeks.
That's unbelievable.
It's the walking dead. What is it that you want from me? How do you know they're not going to bite something and turn it into a zombie as well?
I don't know, because they're dead one way.
Zombies are dead.
Zombies are dead, Bean. Have you never seen Michael Jackson's Thriller video?
Well, that is the definitive piece I get my information from. But these ants are just wandering around on remote control, though. I don't think they even know where they're going or what they're doing. It's not like they've got a plan together to bring down America.
They don't have to have a plan, Bean. They just bite somebody just out of there. Happen to be near a human, they bite you. Boom! Now you're a zombie.
Yeah, I don't think
he doesn't know anything about zombies.
I guess not. Let's squeeze in one more because Irvin, our man Irvin on line 5, has a plan for the parade today. He's got something he wants to run by us. Hey, Irv, what's up?
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do?
What it do?
Well, yeah, you know,
LA is really poor right now for the parade. Mm-hmm. There's not going to be a lot of security, right?
Yeah.
So my idea is I'm going to make sure there's not a lot of security and try to run into the float and see whose hand they can shake.
So okay. You're going to try and get on the float with the Laker team?
Yes.
Because have you ever been tased before?
No.
Practice saying this. Don't tase me, bro.
I mean, I have a feeling that part of the job of security at the parade is, oh, I don't know, keeping people off the Lakers float.
Yeah. That doesn't seem like that's a very good goal.
But we will be watching the parade, and we will look for you, Irvin. And if we see it happen, we're going to go, come on, you did it, give it up. You know what I mean? So we definitely are going to be pulling for you.
All right.
All right.
Okay.
That's a good plan. All right.
There's our man.
All right. That's our people right there.
Yep.
That's our people. First, the guy wanted to hear about the fire ants. Then when he found out it was my idea, he's out.
Yep.
All of a sudden, he doesn't care, right?
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Okay.
We have a rare Ralph DVD review. We don't do these enough, but we find really bad movies, and then Ralph brings in highlights. And this particular one is Staying Alive.
Yeah!
Which we've been talking about for a couple of days as being a horrible.
Oh, this should be fun.
Did you ever see it, Kevin?
No, I never did.
Oh, you're going to be amazed. You're going to be amazed that it got made. And it was, you know, it was the sequel to one of the biggest movies of all time at the time, which was Saturday Night Fever. And they tried to extend the you know, the run of the Disco Nation another year with that movie, and it just, wow, you're not going to believe it.
Yeah, just that's, I love movies like that that are so bad you're fascinated.
Yeah,
Brian Deegan on the program today, very excited about that. Mm-hmm. Metal Militia. We got Joe Rogan in the studio today. Funny mother effer.
Joe Rogan's the best.
He is the
always
best.
Great. He'll back your play on the zombie fire ants.
That's right.
You're right.
He's afraid of all animals.
He'll up you, too.
That's right. I'm sure he's got something worse.
We have a new feature called Extreme Bean, which we'll tell you about coming up just after 6.
Okay, what's that about?
Extreme Bean.
What's Extreme Bean?
Well, we'll explain
it. Explains itself.
We'll explain it. Don't worry about it. It kind of does explain itself.
Yeah.
We got an instant request today, and we have, I don't know, the Hammer Man.
Well, guess what? It's hammer time.
Yeah.
Woo. It is hammer time. He's one of those guys where you just go, in what world am I talking to the Hammer Man for any reason?
MC Hammer is the bomb.
Okay.
Okay. Bean says he's the bomb.
He is.
We will take a quick break and come back with Ralph. Showbiz Beat, is that also the bomb?
We'll see. I'll reserve judgment until I hear it. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday morning. A guy like Hammer, by the way, is a guy that I don't mind coming back. Sometimes you hear about these reunions, like the Limp Bizkit reunion,
right,
and you just go, no, thank you.
Don't need it.
Gonna pass. Guy like Hammer seems like a good guy. I like him. I'd love to see him have some success again.
Is he still a preacher like he was when he was talking about the Heat? Remember that? Remember that clip we had?
I don't know.
Him preaching know about getting still inside and the air conditioning of God's mouth. Or I can't even remember what it was, but it was not good.
No, that was it. The air conditioning of God's mouth.
Yes.
That's what he was talking about.
We will have to ask about that. I don't know if he's doing any preaching or not. I do know that he's got something like 7 children, though, so he's doing more than just preaching.
Yeah.
But anyway, Hammer Time next hour right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph Garman joins us now for our first look at the Showbiz Beat for a new day. What's going on?
Sad.
Why?
Sad. Yeah. The news broke yesterday. Sean Penn has dropped out of the Three Stooges movie.
Oh, no! God help me.
Yeah, now the Farrelly brothers have to find someone else to play Larry. He dropped out of that film and also a crime thriller for Universal called Cartel. Hollywood Reporter says Sean is taking a leave from his Hollywood career, which could last as long as a year, to focus on his wife and family. Because, you know, they've got some issues, and apparently he's committed to working those out, which is admirable.
Right.
But Sean Penn is Larry.
Yeah.
Come on. Priorities here, Mr. Penn. Priorities.
That's right. Much better than that.
Didn't see you dropping out of Milk. No, you drop out of Larry, though.
You can always get another wife. There may not be another opportunity to play Larry.
That's my point exactly. My name is Larry Fine, and I'm here to recruit you. That's hard to see. So I'm just sad. However, not as sad as Joe Jonas.
Oh.
Yeah, apparently he is still aching over his breakup with Taylor Swift. You know, because how do you go from not having sex with Taylor Swift and then breaking up with her and then not having sex with Taylor Swift.
That would be rough.
That would be hard. You'd miss it.
And those Jonas Brothers assholes!
You'd miss that, right?
You would.
You'd miss the not having sex of your relationship.
Yep.
He's got a new song out. According to Star Magazine, the song is called Much Better, and here are some of the lyrics, which are a thinly veiled shot at Ms. Swift, according to insiders. I'm done with superstars and all the tears on her guitars.
Ooh, because that's one of her songs.
Oh, yeah.
That's one of her songs.
Yeah.
Thinly veiled right there.
Yes.
Not very thin.
Nice shot there, Joe Jonas. You're the man.
He's taking her down.
Sort of a man.
Well, I think we've all learned a valuable lesson today.
By the way, it's just a couple days till Larry King does his in-depth Joe Bros interview.
He's interviewing them?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
I was watching last night because our pal Kathy Griffin was on.
That's best case scenario.
And he was talking, I'm very excited. In a couple days, my interview with the Jonas Brothers.
He, first of all, has no idea who they are.
No.
And second of all, he never preps. He doesn't ever. So he's just softball guy. Now he's crazy.
Kathy was very funny and said, oh, please, Larry, name the three Jonas Brothers. And he rattled them off.
What?
Which is more than I could do. I could come up with Nick. That's about it.
And then he's the little Mexican one, right?
Yeah.
Maybe his great-great-grandchildren are into it.
Maybe.
And then there's the other one.
Although his kids are like, you know, that age. Yeah. His real kids.
That's right.
His current kids. His kids are the age of grandchildren.
Yeah.
But there is
I think
children.
Chance is like nine or something.
Yeah.
So, oh, Nick Jonas is so cute.
By the way, I wish Kevin, when we got a vacation coming up.
Yeah.
Aren't you going to Vegas sometime soon?
I am.
This weekend? Please let it be this weekend.
No, it's next weekend.
Damn.
Why?
Because at the Encore, the brand new Steve Wynn property in Las Vegas, this weekend,
Larry
performing
King.
On stage, doing his stand-up, Larry King.
Stand-up?
Yeah.
Since when?
Yeah.
They're not selling it as stand-up.
It's an evening with Larry King.
Oh!
And he gets up on stage and tells humorous anecdotes.
Wow!
Apparently. And his wife, Shawn Southwick, or whatever her name is, right. She sings. She opens for him and sings. And then he comes out on stage and does his chunk.
Are you
his
kidding me?
His hilarious My Remarkable Journey chunk, I guess.
That's going to be awesome.
I know! And I said, who would enjoy that more than Kevin?
Because he's crazy.
Because I'm going to Vegas too, but I'm going the following week as well, so I will not be around. So I'm pumped.
May have to go now.
It'd be worth it. So, a horse walks into a bar and says, "What? The bartender is there as well. At Rhode Island, you're on the line."
He's got no phone.
He's got a lot of wacky stories about his days hanging out with Teddy Roosevelt, though. I hear that's a nice part of the act.
He was there at the run on Bunker Hill or whatever that, right. was. Susan Boyle.
Subo?
God damn it. The very popular performer from Britain's Got Talent apparently is preparing to be exported.
What?
They are going to have her perform on America's Got Talent this summer, Lisa.
Oh, as like a guest star?
I'm guessing. I can't imagine she could enter because she's not American.
Yeah, right. America doesn't have talent bringing over somebody from Britain to sing on the show.
But of course, because she is a minor sensation and NBC wants the ratings, they have booked her to perform on the show, apparently.
Yeah, I don't blame them for that.
The American edition will premiere June 23rd on NBC this year. And I got to admit, I usually get sucked in because there's nothing to watch around the summertime. And some of the acts are really impressive, and the kind of acts you don't get to see a lot of, like Fire Eaters and junk like that, which is kind of be as a novelty, sort of interesting.
Right.
And then you got The Hoff. So it really is an entertaining show, usually.
Some of the people are horrible as well, so
yes.
That's fun.
And then once in a while you run into one of these stories like her. But last year there was a dude who had a car accident, severed several major nerves in his neck.
Oh.
And doctors said he would never probably talk again.
Right.
And he got out and belted out a song from Phantom of the Opera, kind of like she did, with one of those inspirational stories, which kind of catches you in the throat. So, no pun intended. So, So you can check that out if you're so inclined. I don't know whether to believe this anymore, but I'm choosing to.
Yeah, let's
just go with it.
Let's make the choice we want to believe.
It's official as it can be, because we've heard this before. But Megan Fox is single.
Yes.
That's great news. She has confirmed, according to AbsoluteNow.com, the entertainment news website, that she is no longer together with Brian Austin Green. And she says being back on the dating circuit is scary. Not as scary as for the guys you're going to meet, trust me. She says that any potential guy she ends up with is going to have to be honest, funny, and good looking. Well, at least she's honest.
Yeah, well,
Because usually they say, oh, I don't care about looks. It's just as long as he's funny and sweet. That's all I care about. But she wants a hot guy who's funny and honest.
Well, she should.
Those are a dime a dozen, those guys. They're everywhere.
They're everywhere.
That'll be easy.
It seems like if you were dating Megan Fox, that the number one thing you should do is never talk about how good looking she is. Like, never compliment her mm-hmm. on how she looks, right? That would be a huge turnoff for Megan Fox, because she seems to be very uncomfortable with that.
Yeah, you're probably right. And at least not going into it, you know? Eventually, right. you're going to have to, because she's going to, at some point, even Meg Fox will ask you, does my ass look fat in these
right.
jeans?
And you say, you're going to say,
no, honey, you're amazing. You look terrific. And then she'll feel better. And then, bow, chicka, bow, bow.
She really is. I know Mike always talked about putting the website together, the hot chicks with lowselfesteem.com. Yes. She really is the poster child for that. I mean, she's the perfect example of a woman that needs to be treated badly in order to be in a relationship with her.
I don't know if you have to treat her badly.
She just doesn't want to be worshipped.
Yeah, right.
By the way,
you got to treat her like a person.
There's a big place in between there, baby.
You got to take her down to San Diego Comic-Con, you know, and, you know, go see some science fiction movies.
Yeah.
And,
oh, yeah.
I'd be so right for her.
You would?
Yeah. Yeah. Except for that whole honest and good-looking part.
Right.
I can be funny once in a while. Today's celebrity birthdays. Tennis star Venus Williams celebrates her 29th birthday today. Actor-comedian Will Forte from Saturday Night Live is 39. Actor Jason Patrick turns 43. Greg Kinnear, who I was thinking the other day, I haven't seen in a while. I guess Ghost Town, maybe? Was that the last thing he was in with Ricky Gervais?
Was that after the Windshield Wiper movie?
Oh, that's right. He did the Windshield Wiper movie. Yeah.
The Windshield Wiper movie.
Huge hit Windshield Wiper movie.
That was a terrible title for a movie. It really was.
It's about the dude who invented the intermittent windshield wipers.
Oh, and then it got stolen?
Yeah. He got his idea
stolen. That was
stolen.
The name of it? Or
no,
are you just kidding?
I don't think
it was.
I forget called. What was called.
What was that called? I saw it, too, and I don't remember what it was called.
Live for the dream or something like that. Strive for the mountain.
Strive for the mountain.
Climb every mountain, I think it was called. I do not remember what it was called. Thomas Hayden Church movie. From Sideways and Spider-Man 3 and Wings and other things. He is 48 years old today. Bobby Farrelly, speaking of the Farrelly brothers, who are doing the Three Stooges movie, he is 51. Mark Lynn Baker, who played Cousin Larry on Perfect Strangers.
Woo!
What's up with Mark Lynn Baker? We should do a segment called What's Up with Mark Lynn Baker?
No, Kevin is just shaking.
We can do that on your podcast.
We can get him back together. We can have a reunion of Mark Lynn Baker and Bronson Pinchot. We can have a Perfect Strangers reunion right here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
I'd die.
Wouldn't that be the best?
I'd just die.
Cousin Larry, what is going on? Oh, Balky? Be awesome.
I'm mildly in, but the fact that Mike would die, that now I'm all
in. If Jimmy Fallon can put together a Saved by the Bell reunion, we certainly can manage a two-person Perfect Strangers reunion.
I hear you.
Doesn't
seem that hard. By the way, listener Jose lets us know that his Flash of Genius is
Flash of Genius. I was very close.
With Climb Every Mountain?
Yes.
Yeah, you're close.
Comedian Joe Piscopo is 58 years old today, and singer Barry Manilow is 63.
Not that I didn't wake up this morning, first thing, thinking, oh my God, it's Barry Manilow's birthday, I can't wait. What are you saying?
Saying no Barry Manilow, please.
How dare you? How dare
Especially
you?
The worst, cheesiest song he ever wrote.
Oh, like
How dare you?
Like, they aren't all that.
But some, at least, are a little catchy, you know, peppy.
How can you not like This One's For You?
Barry Manilow. What a joke.
So stupid.
And boring as hell.
Yeah, no kidding.
You couldn't pay me to go to that thing. Just look at all the idiots.
All the dumbass Manilow fans.
Yep.
Hey.
Like beans.
Hey.
It's true.
I'll have another selection for you next hour, Rob.
Don't need it. Thank you.
That's
not going to be needed.
I might not make it to the next hour.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Wednesday morning. By the way, I'm on kevinandbean.com right now, and we have a TV section up there, which is they do a phenomenal job back there in the IT department of putting new stuff up all the time. And Kevin and Bean TV right now, for instance, you can see all of the performances of Incubus from yesterday.
Fantastic.
For the Breakfast with Incubus. So if you, for instance, if you missed them doing Let's Go Crazy, the Prince song, you can watch it online right now. Also, Ralph, your video from your visit to the Erotica LA over the weekend, that's up there. That's one of the things you can choose from right now. There's just a ton of stuff, right? Pictures and audio and movies and all sorts of stuff. KevinandBean.com. You ought to check it out.
My man Bean has Asperger's. And
yes.
Yep.
And it's not with a B, like that would be funny. It's with a P, Asperger's. And it's super smart people, but very, very retarded when it comes to social skills.
Yes.
But they can talk.
Yes, they can say words.
Thank you, Lisa.
It's highly functional autism.
Yes, that's what
it
is
basically.
And
I don't have Asperger's.
Yeah,
right.
No. You so have Asperger's.
Yeah. By the way, we did that. We did 30 questions of that test. They said if you have 12 to 16, you have Asperger's. He had 22.
Yeah. Dr. Drew has confirmed it. I said, does he have Asperger's, Dr. Drew? Oh, yeah. 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 Absolutely.
So he doesn't like the people much, Bean. So he works from home up near Seattle. He just stays away from all human beings. But every once in a while, he has to come down. And he has become the most extreme human being on the planet.
Yes.
There's nobody, you know, on the scale of 1 to 10, he wouldn't use any of those numbers. He either has a minus 1 or an 11. Those are the two options
11.
That he has.
He's in triple digits. He's in triple digits or it's minus 1,000.
It's either...
nothing's just about? Okay.
It's no, nothing.
Nothing's either good or bad, Lisa.
This is fine.
No, nothing's ever fine.
There's no fine category.
It's either amazing or it's horrible. It's always got,
that does
it's only
sound
got
like
two
me,
levels.
Right?
Only got
now
two
that
levels.
I think
that's what
about
we're saying.
It. Yeah.
It's time for Extreme Me. It's time for Extreme Me. It's time for Extreme Me. Every day you have to be the best or worst.
Why is this so hot? This is the best breakfast burrito ever.
It's time for Extreme Feed.
Perfect example. Yesterday.
That's the worst thing I've ever heard in my life.
See? Yesterday, we were doing the breakfast with Incubus. And we got there at 5:30 as normal. And it was, what temperature would you say it was when we were there 5:30?
I think 110.
It's probably about 55.
It was about 110.
Yeah. It was a little chill in the
Everybody
air, but it wasn't
had
too cold.
Like a light jacket on or a sweater.
55, 60.
So it's between 55 and 60 degrees.
Yeah.
Sun's not up yet. One of the first things he says is, why are we sitting on the face of the sun?
Well, we were.
What is wrong
with
you?
I mean,
I've never been so hot.
This is the hottest I've ever been in history.
I've ever been.
It was like 60.
Broiling. At the most, it was 60.
But, Bean, it wasn't broiling, and it wasn't even hot.
It wasn't even warm.
It wasn't even warm.
We wouldn't have been able to breathe if it had been 1 degree hotter. That's how hot it was.
Maybe.
Our lungs would have exploded.
I think Bean doesn't know how to communicate with human beings anymore, so he mimics what he sees other people do.
Yeah.
So somebody else is talking about the heat when it's hot. And they go, wow, sure is hot.
He files that away.
Files that away.
I'm going to use that sometime when I'm having a conversation.
Right. At the very least, that should have been the dark side of the moon cold. I mean, really, that's the direction you should go. How are you hot?
I was very uncomfortable. It was sticky and sweaty.
It was not any of those things. I did not like it.
It was zero of those things.
There's
you might as well complain about
you.
The sun being in your eyes, too, at 5:30 when the sun wasn't up yet, because that's how opposite it was.
By the way, heat and cold is one of his big complaints. When he comes into the studio, it's just like, oh, it's so hot.
He turns the air way down. We're all freezing to death.
Don't be extreme, Lisa.
No,
that
I
position
froze
is taken.
The other day.
Oh, okay.
Extreme Lisa.
But when it comes to hot and cold, Bean is never okay or just a little chilled.
Yeah, you're right.
Maybe a little too warm. It's either 1,000 degrees below or 1,000 degrees.
That's absolutely
those
true.
Are the options
it's
that
like
he
the,
gives
It's like the weather chick he likes on NBC.
Yes.
Alita Doresco, is that
yes.
her name?
Loresca, right.
She's the hottest woman on television.
Right.
Not even close to being the hottest woman on television.
So we'll say to Bean to try and just clarify and trying to get him to come back to reality. She looks fine.
She's attractive, sure.
She looks fine. She's attractive. Mm-hmm. She seems like she's got a lot going on.
No. She's the hottest woman on television.
It has to be that extreme for Bean. Otherwise, it doesn't work for him.
This is Extreme Bean.
She's the hottest chick on TV. And he says that kind of stuff every day about people who are... really strongly in the mid category.
He says it about everything. Remember when we had breakfast with No Dow?
Oh,
I was thinking breakfast yesterday. This is the greatest breakfast burrito I've ever eaten.
Oh, that damn burrito.
It was just eggs wrapped in a tortilla.
He's never stopped talking about that stupid burrito.
The greatest thing I've ever eaten.
No, that it's not. Was it's the best just, burrito ever made,
it's
by
It's just
the way.
A good burrito. That
Here's the
really
thing about
was.
That, Bean, and the rest of us all kind of concur. It was a good burrito.
It was a great burrito.
It was well made. Tasted
it was the
good.
Best burrito ever.
I'd have another one.
Me too. I'd have it every day, every meal.
But it's
not the best burrito ever.
Not even close.
Name a better one.
All.
One that's got steak and guacamole and cheese and beans, like a real full-fledged burrito.
couldn't touch this one because this was the best brew ever made.
So yesterday we were trying to figure out how to work the breakfast with Incubus. And the table that we were sitting at was, I don't know, 30 feet away from the stage where the band members are. And it's usually difficult to get their attention if they don't know where we are, if they have to look all the way over there. So I said, why don't we just have wireless microphones? We can get up on the side of the stage, ask them some questions. When they play, we'll just get back down.
Mm-hmm.
That's the worst idea I've ever heard.
The worst thing I've ever heard.
So I said,
"It's going to be awful."
So I thought, I said, "How is it that bad of an idea? It's just, I think a decent idea. We should probably do it." Oh, it's the worst thing I've ever heard. We've done 30 breakfasts just like this, and I said 30 where we're 50 feet from the band.
No, you're right. It's my bad. We've done 4,000 breakfasts just like this.
And then we said, why don't we bring the people who are asking the questions up on the stage? Maybe that would be kind of a cool thing for them. They're at the breakfast. They get to get on stage with Incubus and ask the question. And Bean said,
that's the worst idea I've ever heard. That's way too far to walk.
It was like 12 feet.
Dear God,
Bean. Way too far to walk.
It was like walking from here to New York City. It really was.
You're extreme Bean.
I was afraid that...
This is extreme Bean.
Then you got to have a plus one on everyone who asks the question because they need a Sherpa and all the equipment that they need to get to where we were. It was undoable.
Right. But we did it. And,
and it was okay.
And it worked out
fine,
really,
right?
Really simply.
No. It's the worst thing ever.
And he does that. We're voting on the guests or whatever lately. He's just, I can't believe anyone would make that choice. But all right, I guess if you want to make bad decisions. That's how he talks to everybody about everything. There's got to be some middle ground, Bean. There's got to be something that's just okay.
Can you just try?
Name something that's just okay.
No!
This is Extreme Puppy.
Time to check out an instant request, I understand.
Yes, we got an email from a K-Rock listener saying, Dear Kevin and Bean, yesterday Ralph did a story in his Showbiz beat about Michael Jackson training to get in shape for his concerts in England. And he's being,
which, by the way, is completely understandable when you consider these. Look how frail and tiny he is, and he's going to go out there and work like he did 25 years ago on stage for 50 nights. Come on,
yeah, he totally needs to.
And
do this.
He's being trained by Lou Ferrigno. Sure, would be great to hear the conversation between Michael and Lou. Sincerely, Paul Hewson, longtime listener. So we thought we would do an instant request and try to make that happen.
New instant.
Make a request.
Instant request. Kevin and Bean.
Instant request.
Well, when Bono makes an instant request, I guess you got to come through, right? Let's say first hello to Michael Jackson on the line. Hey, Mike, how are you?
87, 88, 89.
Mike?
90. Hello?
Kevin and Bean here. Are you in the gym right now?
Yes, I'm in the gym right now as I am every morning. To go on my tour.
What were you counting? What reps were you doing? Of what?
I was bench pressing.
Okay, bench press.
Yes.
How much weight? How much?
Well, Lou has moved me up.
To?
We've gone from a six-year-old to a seven-year-old.
Oh, no.
You're not bench pressing.
No, we're talking about...
Yeah, I am. That's what I use instead of weights.
No.
Yeah.
All right,
it keeps
me
motivated.
Since this is an instant request, let's say hello to your trainer, the original TV's Hulk, Lou Ferrigno, on the phone with us too. Hey, Lou.
Hey, Kevin B. How you doing?
We're doing very well. Thank you.
I'm glad to hear it. It's great to talk to you guys.
Lou, also a former Mr. Universe, by the way.
How about that?
Yeah, I was Mr. Universe. And, of course, everyone knows me as the Incredible Hulk.
Sure, Incredible Hulk, right. Now, why did you agree to train Michael Jackson? That seems like a very difficult job.
Huh?
I said, why did you agree to train Michael Jackson?
What?
Why are you training Michael?
Gonna train with Michael?
Yes,
why? We're not taking a train, we're taking a plane.
Okay, put Michael back on.
What?
hand the phone to Michael Jackson, please.
What?
Michael Jackson again, please.
Huh?
See, Lou Ferrigno can't hear very well, right. Is what's going on here. So we're having a little bit of difficulty getting the phone passed back and forth.
Hello?
Okay, can you give the phone to Michael Jackson?
Hello, anybody there?
All right, listen.
Yes.
One more question. Is it true that Michael is nervous about people watching him while he works out?
No, that's not true at all. No, Michael's very nervous about people watching him work out, though.
That's what I just said.
What?
Oh, no.
I think you guys are having a little hard time talking.
It's us.
Thank you. Thank you for jumping back on. We were we had a miscommunication difficulty there with Lou.
Sound like he was having a hard time in that conversation.
Yeah. Well,
right.
And
so,
and really, we don't have much time to talk because we have a lot of training to do before I get on stage.
Okay.
I want to hit the stage at 225.
You weigh 120 something now?
Yes. I'm trying to pack on 100 pounds of muscle.
Okay, well, that's absurd. You'll die. You can't do that.
No, I won't die because I've been taking a lot of supplements, like
right.
creatine and protein.
Yeah.
I'm taking a lot of protein.
Yes.
Lots and lots of protein.
Yes.
It's a very protein-heavy diet.
I'm sure it is.
And I've been doing all the exercises that Lou recommends. I've been doing preacher's curl and lunges and thrusts.
Oh. Yes, this is not.
And then when I get to the gym, I do.
Was working. There we go. How about that? You got to put that button. Hey, there we go. Yes, we are good. The all new limited edition K Rock sticker. You can pick it up at any Del Taco. Fill it out in the back, send it in. You can win your own private concert with 311 and a brand new car, a 2010 Kia Soul. It is the
a new car.
World famous K Rock at 6:37.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Our old friend Joe Rogan is going to be joining us in the 7 o'clock hour this morning. And from the Metal Militia, it's going to be Brian Deegan in the 8 o'clock hour. First, though, guess who's coming up on the phone here in a minute?
I'm MC Hammer. It's hot. It's summertime. But you can escape the heat by going into the house of God and letting the Lord just breathe on you. Some of that cool air, the breath of God. You can escape the heat, too. Right now, get out the heat. Use the hot sun to be your excuse. Where I'm going. I'm on my way to church. Get out this heat, man. Call somebody. Tell them to grab their Bible. Hammer, deal him with it.
Now, Hammer, you were asking a great question last hour, Kevin, which is, does he still do the preaching? Is he still out there as a minister in the church? Wouldn't you go every single week if MC Hammer were your minister?
I think so.
Yeah.
It depends on how this particular sermon ends. Or if it makes any progress into anything else.
It's got to be tough to write a sermon every Sunday and to try to tie it in and make it relatable, something
yeah,
that's
going
to keep people awake. So I guess it was really hot, and he figured there's a way to turn that into some good news from the Lord.
I'm going in there where they're breathing fresh air. Don't stand around all day idle, especially in the summer heat. You know, you're standing around, it gets hot. Some get involved with drinking liquor and that heat and that liquor together. Oh, my gosh.
What is going on?
Well, he does make a good point. You put the liquor and the heat together. Oh, my gosh. I mean, I know.
That's true. I hadn't thought of it quite that way.
Yeah.
The adversary gets extra busy. But we all trying to escape the heat. Not only the heat of a hot summer, but the heat of the adversary. We need to utilize the tools of warfare.
Whoa.
And in order to get them, we have to come into the house of God where the tools are. And as it refers to heat, where the air conditioner is. Lord, breathe on us. Cool us off, Lord. Breathe on us.
So you think it's hot now. Imagine how hot it's going to be with the eternal fires of damnation. That's the message that's going on here from Hammer, right?
Yeah, that would have been cool had he gone into that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe he will.
Okay, you got more?
I know I ran in, and you can run in. It's hot, it's summertime, but you can escape the heat by going into the house of God and letting the Lord just breathe on you. Some of that cool air, the breath of God. Hallelujah, anyhow. Come on in, out the heat in the name of Jesus. Get out the heat, man. Come on in. Come on in and let the Lord breathe some air conditioning on you.
Right.
We're going to ask God to bless the summer.
Yeah.
Somebody say, what you saying, Hammer?
Somebody say, what you saying, Hammer?
I think I'm that guy. What you saying, Hammer?
When I say go grab the Bible, go and grab it because I like to qualify what I say. I'm not just speaking words. My word is qualified and certified by the word itself. Now go grab your Bible and go to Romans. Romans chapter 6.
All right. I think that's enough for us on the Hammer Time. But he was good.
He was good.
Yeah. Now, what's going on with getting Hammer on the phone here? I thought he's coming on to talk about his TV show. What's the latest?
Apparently, it's not Hammer Time. Right now.
I heard it was Hammer Time.
No, it's not. Apparently.
We were told it was Hammer Time.
It was supposed to be
Hammer. Guess what?
It's Hammer Time.
Okay?
That's what we were told.
Not for us.
But apparently his watch is different than ours. And it is clearly not Hammer Time.
But black people are always reliable and on time.
That's
How is
correct.
This possible?
Not sure. But
we've been looking forward to this all week.
Yes, we have.
How will we escape the heat?
How are we going to escape the heat if we don't have Reverend Hammer on? Come on.
We'll reschedule him. Don't worry about that. We'll reschedule
him. I don't know if I want to reschedule him now, if that's the way he's going to be.
Oh, he's the Hammer Man. How do you not reschedule?
Just saying. Oh, no. Will it still be on Hammer Time? Because we apparently don't know what time that is.
Right, but he does. It's clearly our fault.
I'm sure.
We don't know what Hammer Time is. It's his time.
We're on standard time. Apparently, we need to find out what the differential is to Hammer Time. Is it plus 1 hour, or what's the deal?
Well, we'll look into it and get back.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Wednesday morning. This Saturday night, by the way, is the finale of The Ultimate Fighter, and we'll be talking about that and his recent trip to Europe and all the other crazy stuff that's going on in our friend Joe Rogan's life coming up just after 7 o'clock this morning. That's just a few minutes away. Joe, one of the all-time great radio guests, so definitely don't miss him. Right now, Ralph is here with another look at the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Well, yesterday I mentioned that David Letterman did his second apology to Governor Sarah Palin of Alaska regarding the jokes he made about her and her family, and wasn't good enough for a group of protesters who gathered outside the Ed Sullivan Theater last night demanding that David Letterman be fired.
Dear God.
Yeah. Well, he did kill a man, right?
No, he made a joke that was in bad taste.
Oh.
But Dave, always the genius, made the best of it. I don't know if you saw the show last night. But he came out on stage and during his monologue said, I want to get through this as quickly as possible so you folks can get to the Fire Dave rally. He said, when I call your name in the audience, please come forward and pick up your apology. It's nice that people who hate me are no longer just part of my immediate family. My son is telling everyone at school that his father is Conan.
Nice.
Yeah. By the way, his top 10 list was the top 10 things overheard at the Fire Dave rally.
Awesome.
Yeah. Number 10 was Dave Who? Number 6 was, isn't there always a crowd demanding Letterman be fired? Number 5, march around the potholes, people. Number 4 was, can we also get CBS to bring back Gunsmoke? Number 2 was, you should apologize for that hairpiece. And the number 1 top 10 things overheard at the Fire Dave rally, thanks for coming, Regis.
Wow.
So, yeah, he made the best of it.
I think he's getting a raw deal on this, but the timing couldn't be any better for him. With the change over at the Tonight Show and him getting a little bit of traction against Conan and now getting all this extra attention. I mean, really, if he survives this, and I think he will, it's going to ultimately end up doing him a big favor.
He is winning the ratings war, by the way. He is number one late nights now over Conan O'Brien,
if he
who has been steadily declining, sadly, since he started.
If he doesn't get through this, I'm moving out of the country.
Yeah, they fire him over this. It'd be insane. Speaking of Conan, by the way, someone did a little research and found out that last October, Conan O'Brien made the following joke. Saturday night, Sarah Palin's going to drop the first puck at the Philadelphia Flyers hockey game. Then Palin will spend the rest of the game trying to keep the hockey players out of her daughter's penalty box. Which is basically the same joke Letterman made.
Yep. Yeah.
No faux outrage, no complaints, no fire Conan rally, no attention whatsoever from the Palin camp because she was still in the throes of the election. There was still something going on. There was no political advantage to being morally outraged at the time like there is now. So people are speculating whether this whole thing is much ado about nothing.
That's real talk right there, man.
It is. It's true. Thank you, Queen. Alec Baldwin gave an interview recently to Playboy magazine saying that he thought about killing himself when that private voicemail he left for his daughter was made public.
That was pretty humiliating.
Yeah. He said the reason he didn't is because Kim Basinger would have considered it a victory.
Oh,
wow, really?
Really? So he stayed alive to spider.
Uh-huh.
They have not moved past this in
he
any way.
He maintains it's Kim Basinger and her lawyer's goal to destroy him, and he wouldn't give him the satisfaction.
You are a rude, thoughtless little pig.
Well, she is a little rude, thoughtless pig.
Well, thank God he didn't, because he's so great on 30 Rock.
I know. It would have been our loss.
He's much more important.
You guys watching Nurse Jackie? See it Monday night?
Yes.
Taped it.
Damn it. Is that a great show?
So excited.
And Peter Facinelli's on that show. He plays Coop, the doctor on that show.
That's HBO or Showtime?
Showtime.
Showtime.
Yes. Peter Facinelli plays Coop, the doctor on that show. He's also the doctor in Twilight. Plays a lot of doctors lately.
He does. Sure. Yeah.
Used to be in Fastlane.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
He played Clank or something.
He played Clank-Koch.
Oh, he was Clank. Yeah.
Clank-Koch. Clank-Koch. I think he was Celtic. Anyway, he said that he watched Britain's Got Talent. He watched a tape of it, and he cried when Susan Boyle didn't win.
He cried?
Yeah, he cried.
Hmm.
Tears.
That's taking your reality show a little too far, isn't it?
Actual tears.
Yeah, apparently he did. I think he's all hopped up on those goofballs over there that Nurse Jackie's taking. Hugh Hefner can't tell his twin 19-year-old girlfriends apart.
Awesome.
Here's a shocker.
Like it matters.
Apparently, the only way Hef is able to identify Carissa and Christina Shannon from each other is look for a little birthmark on one of the playmates' necks. If he can't find that, he's a loss. If there were anything too high or whatever, he has no idea which one he's talking to.
Just put name tags on him.
He should.
Like you're going to a convention.
You should tattoo him.
Good.
What I would do.
Put the Mike Tyson tattoo on one of their faces.
That's right. Put the yin on one side and the yang on the other one, so when they stand next to each other, they make a whole picture. That'd be awesome. Let's just play with 19-year-olds.
That's awesome that you can't tell them apart.
Yeah. I mentioned Greg Kinnear in the last hour. We didn't know what he was up to. Well, I just got this story. Came across the news desk. Greg Kinnear and Kelly Preston have signed on to play Miley Cyrus's parents in a new movie.
Okay.
The Last Song.
Is this a feature film?
Is
this a new Hannah Montana movie?
No,
or is
this, this is a feature film starring Miley that has nothing to do with Hannah Montana. It's based on the Nicholas Sparks novel.
Okay.
About a rebellious teen who gets to spend the summer with her estranged father. We got to stop this Nicholas Sparks guy from writing, by the way. He is just the bane of existence.
Is he?
He's the worst.
Was he the Notebook guy?
He is the Notebook guy, and then he was the Message in a Bottle guy.
Wow.
And all he does is just write sappy, sentimental, cloying. Bridges of Madison County. Just F this guy. His cloying, sappy, sentimental crap that he makes movies
out of. Well, Miley Cyrus should kill whatever success he's had up to this point.
That's true. That should be a deal killer. And Universal has announced, not only are they making lots of movies about board games these days, but they're bringing back all their classic monsters. They're remaking all their classic monster movies.
Okay.
They have signed Benicio del Toro to star as the Wolfman in the new Wolfman movie.
I could see that.
For
that.
No makeup required.
That's right. Just throw him on the set. They are also doing a remake of Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Mm-hmm.
Classic.
Classic.
And
great movie.
They just announced today The Bride of Frankenstein is in the works.
Another great movie.
Shouldn't they do Frankenstein first before they do The Bride of
Frankenstein?
Seems like
it, yeah.
You'd think, maybe.
And speaking of sequels, there will be an Indiana Jones 5, whether you like it or not.
Yes!
Shia LaBeouf has told a British talk show host that Steven Spielberg has cracked the story for the next movie and that it's gearing up, people. So get ready for Indy 500.
Harrison Ford, though, is the talk,
I think Harrison will be participating, yes.
I don't know if he will be the
main action hero in this one. That torch may be passed to the Shia LaBeouf.
I think if there's anyone that could pull that off, it'd be Shia. I think he's really good.
I agree.
I do too.
They could eliminate the old man.
If they can just get Lucas out of the mix, they'll be fine.
No, it was just a big spaceship and his crystal skulls, and it's just 3D, and people go into the other universe.
No, George. No, we're not going to do that. Today's celebrity birthdays. Venus Williams is 29 years old today.
Oh,
yeah.
How are you going to comment on Venus like that?
I don't think so.
I'm afraid so.
I think Serena got the looks.
Worthy.
I think Serena got the looks in that family. I'm sorry, gentlemen.
She's not a gong. Come on. There's in-between people.
No, she's not as attractive as Serena, absolutely, but she's not a gong either.
Come on.
She's not Susan Boyle.
All right, I'll retract the gong if that's the consensus.
She has to be Susan Boyle to get a gong, like a bell. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
gong is for hideous. Gong is supposed to be for horrible-looking dogs. That's the reverse bell.
Right. Okay.
You can't just take it. You can't just gong an average-looking woman.
Still working out all the details on the gong.
The gong is new this year. Yeah. So,
comedian Will Forte from Saturday Night Live is 39 years old today.
He's ugly. He's fugly.
Jason Patrick is 43. Greg Kinnear turns 46 years old. Thomas Hayden Church, maybe, is 48 years old. Bobby Farrelly, of the directing Farrelly Brothers, turns 51. Mark Lynn Baker, Cousin Larry from Perfect Strangers, turns 55 years old. Joe Piscopo is 58. And Barry Manilow is 60.
How about the Copa? Is that a little better for you, Ralph?
No.
Is that Manilow?
Well, yeah, it's Manilow.
Keyboard Cat is playing Manilow right off.
Right.
I was excited about that.
Hey, check out that flaming queen.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
What's up? This is Joe Rogan. I don't know if I came from a monkey or if I came from Jesus, because I'm pretty f***ing dumb and I've done no research whatsoever. Can't believe it's 2009. We got a black president and pot is still illegal. God damn! How scared are they of weed?
What Ultimate Fighting is, it's the actual sport of fighting. It encompasses all aspects of fighting. Ground game, kicking, punching, elbows, submissions.
We're about to watch the Two Girls, One Cup video.
I can't watch that.
Where are those girls?
We have to find them.
UFC commentator and all-round personality, Joe Rogan.
You ever find them, by the way?
No, we never found them. Yeah. We believe they're from Brazil, and we understand that the poop in that video was fake poop. That's the word.
That's such good news.
The word. My friend got real offended. So. He's like, it's a fake, man. He got, like, mad. And he's like, that's nothing. Didn't do anything. Like, it was like he got robbed
like he
or something.
Because
he wanted it to be every bit as gross as it looked.
But I was like, first of all, it's not unimpressive because it's fake poop that came from the butt of a girl who's willing to let you put fake poop up
her
butt.
Hey, let's change subject, shall we?
Maybe.
You know?
This may be
that's
a rough
suggestion.
Is that were we going to get arrested?
It may be a rougher
what
start
kind of country
than we were
is
hoping
this?
For.
Sorry.
Yeah. It is 7 in the morning, Joe Rogan.
That's only really the beginning of
my
discussion.
Yeah, we know. Believe it. All right, where do we start with Joe? Because many things have happened since the last time we saw him. The start of which is just like someone should have taken out Hitler in 1939, somebody needs to take out Joe Rogan in 1909 because he's on a quest to bring back the fanny pack.
I'm not on a quest. It's already back. Okay,
no,
I wear it all
not.
The time when I travel and I go to the airport. You know, you can call it what you want.
For you.
Describe for me and all the people who think like me are not trying to get laid. Okay? That's the only problem with the fanny pack. You cannot get laid when you have one. But you know what? If you're not trying to get laid, it's a functional piece of wardrobe. Don't be scared to rock it. Okay? I rock the fanny pack. A leather one.
Okay. First of all,
married guys?
First of all, you can't rock.
Yeah, you do.
A fanny pack.
First of all, it's made out of dead animals. Someone had to die for that.
Right.
Okay?
So that makes it better?
That's powerful. That's very manly. Very manly, right? That's a murdered animal.
But if you didn't wear it, no one would have to die.
Here's the deal.
What about that?
Like, there's guys who carry, like, duffel bags and stuff that'll make fun of your fanny pack.
Right.
And that's ridiculous. Because with the fanny pack, first of all, I have two hands free. So if I want to, like, wrestle a mountain lion or something manly.
That comes up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I want my stuff, it's right there. Unzip it, pull it out.
But, Joe, let me ask you a question.
So easy.
You're in pretty good shape. People know that you have...
He's a manly man.
Yeah, right?
Yes. That's why I'm the one to bring this thing back.
Okay,
because
that's fine.
There's a lot of men that are scared. That know they like it. They go, man, it's so convenient.
No, you know what
but
it is?
But they can't
though?
Rock it.
Because we're lame. Like, picture me or Bean in a fanny pack. You go, nope.
I would hug you.
Nope.
I would see you and I would say, God bless you for just trying it.
Because we couldn't pull it off, is
you
what
could
I'm saying.
Pull it off, man.
No,
the whole deal
please.
Is just doing it.
They can barely get dressed.
And then people look at you like, what is that, a fanny pack? You go, what?
That's your
just
response.
What? Just shut up. What do you care what's around my waist?
How long have you been wearing the fanny pack?
For years.
You
but I was embarrassed. Like, I would, like, wear one, and, like, I had a picture of me in the backseat of my friend's car, and I had my fanny pack on, and someone saw that. It was like we're looking at the old pictures. Oh, you remember this one? Someone saw that. Is that a fanny pack?
Now,
what's the big deal?
At what point, then, did you used to be embarrassed by it?
Yeah.
At what point did you turn and go, I'm not embarrassed anymore?
If you smoke enough pot in your life, everything seems normal. You can make anything seem normal.
But
you can,
does it seem normal to you when you're not high?
It seems a little silly.
Yeah,
it's like, come on, man. This is, you know, you're choosing to be ridiculed. It's so silly that I'm embarrassed about it. I pull my t-shirt over the fanny pack so it looks like I'm fat. So I'd rather
people think,
like, damn, that Fear Factor guy is fat. I'd rather have that than people know that I'm rocking the fanny pack.
Wow.
I think there are two different things that are going on here, and this is what's confusing people. One is the actual functionality of the fanny pack,
which I will
grant you that it's great to have a place to put your wallet and keys and whatever you got without having them bogged down your pockets. I understand that, and you get to keep your hands free if there's other stuff you want. Then there's the flip side of that, though, which is people don't wear fanny packs for the same reason they don't wear shoulder pads in their coats anymore. They don't wear mullets because
it looks silly. That's a silly comparison because shoulder pads don't help you unless you're going to run into walls, and mullets don't help you unless you're trying to get laid in Alabama.
But what I'm saying is the fashion aspect of the fanny pack is what killed the fanny pack. Not that it wasn't useful. Not that it's not a great thing to have.
Right.
But it's that it looks so bad.
Yeah, but it's so useful that I think it cancels out any fashion faux pas.
I'll tell you where the fanny pack shows up is when you're on vacation.
Hell yeah!
Because I'll bust it out on vacation.
Give me some up top on that.
Anyone.
That's right.
I don't care
support.
What people think, and it's very convenient.
As long as no one knows you.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
I think a lot of people do that.
That's where it's even harder.
We go to Europe, we all got fanny packs.
Yeah, why not?
Did you try the satchel? Did you try the man purse?
Never.
That comes
Never want the man purse because I'm like, what am I, a little bitch? I don't want to be carrying this little purse around. I want to have a fanny pack like a man.
Oh, like
but I'm
there's
scared.
A difference.
There is a difference.
There's no difference.
I told you, my hands are free. Okay?
They're
attackers,
free with the satchel,
I can parry
too.
Them. I can talk on my cell phone and point. a lot of things. It's hard to argue, man. I got my hands at 10 and 2, okay?
All right, let me ask you this question. How do you feel it's going? How's the progress?
Going very well. The amazing thing is the amount of support emails and Twitters that I've gotten. That's right, Twitter. I'm on Twitter.
Yeah.
But that sounded like Dave Attell. That's right, Twitter. But yeah.
I think all guys with fanny packs Twitter, by the way. I think those two go hand in hand.
Listen, a lot of manly men are Twittering out there. You got to let that go.
Maybe you need to develop your own line of fanny packs.
I think I should.
The
with
Joe
like,
Rogan
like skulls on them and swords
them
and
cool.
stuff.
And a secret pocket.
Swords.
Secret pocket for your stash.
That's what I was going to say.
There you go. Yeah,
Joe,
man.
You,
that's how goofy stoners are.
I follow you on the Twitter. Pocket, I follow you on the Twitter. And I know that you just got back from Germany. Did you fanny pack all across Europe?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And over there, they don't even care.
It's know? More acceptable over there.
It's
right?
way more.
Do
it's everywhere.
Do it too?
Oh, yeah. It's everywhere. The fanny pack's everywhere. They never let it go.
You're not exaggerating.
No, no. It's still, I was taking pictures. I took pictures of fanny packs, and I wish I had my iPhone on me.
Me too.
I took pictures of fanny packs, and I took pictures of the cigarette warnings, because the cigarette warnings are giant. They're like the size of the Marlboro labels, like that big, and then below it, it's like cigarettes kill you, like in giant letters. It's,
wow.
Everybody's smoking everywhere. They don't care.
Yeah,
I think the one that you posted was something like, this product will give you fatal lung cancer.
Yeah,
right?
Isn't that crazy? Yeah,
like
on
that?
My Twitter, yeah. It's amazing.
It was awesome.
It's but yet there's these cigarette-sponsored cancer boxes all throughout the airports. Those
right.
are the loneliest places in airports. Those nicotine greasy windows, those people just sitting there just sucking on those burning things. Well, in the airports in Europe, they're everywhere.
Yep.
And they're stuffed. It's like a giant phone booth type thing that fits like 7 or 8 people. It's very tight.
And there's usually 11.
Yeah, and there's ashtrays in there, and people are just
wow.
puffing away. The walls are greasy.
Oh,
and
that's gross.
They're like milky, greasy to the glass.
Oh,
like, you're
oh.
dying.
Do they keep their cigarettes in a fanny pack?
If they're cool
they
and smart and want to look stylish.
What did you go to Germany for?
For the UFC. I was there for UFC
for
99.
Huh.
Yeah.
That was in Germany. Wow, I had
yeah,
no
it was
idea.
In Germany. Yeah,
that's not very. They don't do that very often, though, where they go outside of North America, right?
We go to England a couple times a year. We go to Ireland usually once. The way it's been lately, once a year. We went to Northern Ireland. We've been to Dublin. We've been to England 4 times. And
great, that's
yeah.
Cool.
Now Germany.
I didn't see
yeah.
this last fight. I read a review of it though that said it was kind of boring. The main matchup.
Well, I wouldn't say it was boring. You know, I thought it was pretty exciting, but it's between it was between Rich Franklin and Wanderlei Silva. And went to a decision, and both guys were like, they're like known for like really putting on exciting fights, so I think a lot of people thought there was going to be a knockout. But when you get two guys that are really good and they're very skillful, sometimes they cancel each other out,
right?
And they're a little bit more hesitant because Wanderlei's a real dangerous knockout artist, and Wanderlei's a little more hesitant because he just got knocked out in his last fight, and they're both very, very good, so sometimes that happens.
Right,
it's not an exact science putting together the exciting fights.
Yeah.
We have to take a quick break. We want to come back with our friend Joe Rogan and talk about talking monkeys in space, because apparently they exist and they are happening.
That's you and me.
We're the talking monkeys in space.
We're talking monkeys.
Wow, this is deep.
It is deep. It's a new Joe Rogan comedy special. We'll tell you all about it when we return right after this on The Kevin and Bean Show. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. Let me tell you about Joe Rogan, by the way. He didn't just come in and do his fanny pack chunk and then go, well, that was funny, and then move on. He is continuing to sell it through the commercials, through the songs.
Yep.
Now he's talking about you can ward off gay glances at your junk if you're wearing a fanny
and
pack.
Meteors.
I mean, he's got
the kid in England that got hit with a meteor, or
right?
Germany, rather. He was just walking along, and a meteor came and clipped his hand.
Right.
The odds are like 1,000,000,000 to 1, right? Clips his kid's hand and puts like a 3-inch scar. What if that hit his penis? Okay, and he's
right.
wearing a fanny pack, but with like cell phones and wallets in there,
it
totally
just
protect him.
That would stop a meteor.
Exactly.
That would stop a meteor.
Yeah, exactly. A little one, the one that hit his hand. Yes, I'm
that
fairly
meteor,
confident.
That meteor would hit the fanny pack, and then that kid's cell phone would cut off things.
There's no denying it's a pussy meteor, but I think it's not like a real meteor, like a golf ball one that's going to kill you.
Right.
It's a little tiny baby one.
Okay,
but I don't want that hitting my bare skin.
We had a Kevin Bean Lister who wrote in support of Joe.
Thank you very much.
And said that a lot of cops and SWAT guys will wear the fanny pack in their off hours to conceal their guns.
Hard men there to protect you while you sleep at night.
Yeah.
Where?
All right. Joe Rogan
this
is
other
here.
Guys too, man. Forrest Griffin wears a fanny pack.
Yeah,
how
but
about
he
that?
Can.
Exactly.
That argument, when you
exactly.
use guys extremely tough guys, that argument's moot.
Chuck
because...
Norris, bitch. How about that? Chuck Norris wears a fanny pack. There are pictures online. I'm not making this up. Mirko Krokop, winner in the last UFC, wears a fanny pack.
But, Joe, you're looking at us. You're talking
you
to us.
You can go along with it. You can
I'm
wear an Affliction
Forrest
t-shirt,
Griffin.
Too. You can do it.
Don't think so. I don't think I can.
Joe Rogan is here with a huge Saturday night on the Spike Channel this weekend. Check this out. Ultimate Fighter Finale is going to be at 9 o'clock on Spike. And what goes on there, Joe? What's that all about?
Well, it's the finals of the Ultimate Fighter reality show, UK versus United States. And pretty exciting. It's going to be awesome. I don't know if it's – I know it's two UK guys in the lightweight division, and I think it might be – I don't think they've decided it yet. Well, they do, but I don't know the results. It airs tonight. Then we find out if it's an American guy or an English guy that makes it into the welterweight division.
All right, so that's the finale. And then right after that is your new comedy special called Talking Monkeys in Space, which apparently is us.
Yeah.
We are talking monkeys in space?
Well, that's just how I – always refer to people that we're talking. I mean, if you really look at where we are, we're talking monkeys and we're on a rock that's flying through the universe. You know?
Well, that's
it's one of those weird
pretty
things.
Accurate.
You know?
Yeah. Wearing fanny packs.
Of us, the ones who have balls.
What's this special all about? Is this going to be similar to the great stand-up slot we saw you do it on April Foolishness?
Yeah, some of it, the stuff about the baby, well, only some of the stuff about the babies in the TV show, but yeah, a lot of it is in there. So I think I did some stuff during the April Foolishness that isn't, but most of it is in
Please
there.
Please tell me that the green gray sperm is in there.
Oh, yeah, that's
okay,
in there.
Good.
That's in there.
Oh, you're going to love this special, though. It's fantastic.
Thank you. It's going to be, it was really fun because Spike really didn't cut out anything. They threw in a bunch of beeps, but subject matter was crazy. I couldn't believe what they were willing to let me get away
with.
Awesome. And after 1 a.m., they're going to air it uncensored, so they're going to repeat it all the time.
Ah.
And
good to know.
Yeah, so they were, I mean, I couldn't believe it. Like, when we sent the tape to them, I was like, well, we're going to have to cut out a lot of this, probably. And then they said, no, we got no notes. You can't say this word, and you can't say that word. It was really interesting. Even in the uncensored version, you can say every word except the F word that describes gay guys.
Okay.
You're kidding.
No,
everything else
that.
Is
exactly.
Fair game, huh?
Which I, by the way, never use for gay guys. I just, you know.
Right.
I used to be funny, but then I didn't have any idea how offensive it really was. I really had no idea, and I have stopped since then.
Well, my friends use it all the time, and we, like, what, my birthday cake. Can I say it? Can you say it on the radio?
Well, you can, yeah.
Is it? It's not illegal.
Well, it's
you
not
can
illegal.
Just say
though.
The word.
Well, my birthday cake. It said "Happy birthday, faggot," and I thought that was hilarious. I think, but that's like the way my friends talk. That's
right.
What. Like,
and we'll it was
say
to
like,
you.
Like you know, like if you like if someone drops their keys, like what are you doing, faggot? You know, like you dummy, drop your keys. It's not like you're gay.
Yeah, but
it's like dork. But
that
to gay
has,
guys, it's very offensive.
Yeah, that really has changed. It seems to me like it's changed a lot.
Yeah, well, they're trying to make it like black guy saying the N word. That's what,
right.
It's what it's.
But you could
like.
Say every other word, but not that one.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, they wouldn't let that word fly. But I don't use it for people in my act. I use it to describe ants and a dog. That's it.
Ants and a dog.
You have to see it.
Have you seen the zombie ants? Have you seen that story?
Zombie ants.
Zombie ants.
Oh, my God. Look, you guys got something for me.
They're
I love
fire
it.
Ants. And what they do is they bring in these flies, and the flies like lay their eggs in the brain of the ants. And then the ants, which are basically dead, are walking around for 2 weeks. Walking around dead ants, and then their head falls off and a new fly comes out.
Wow.
Zombie ants.
Well, there's some crazy parasites out there. There's one that I heard of that gets inside some bug, and it's like an aquatic parasite, and it actually makes the bug drown itself so that that's how it hatches. Like this stupid bug gets into the water and drowns itself, and this aquatic parasite
you must
pops
drown
out of its
yourself.
Brain. It's pretty nutty, man.
Go to the water and submerge.
Yeah,
do not question
stuff.
Me.
Joe's going to be the only guy on Earth who's not going to be surprised when some insect takes humanity down. Because he's been calling it for years that we are at the mercy of our animals on this planet.
Well, we really are. Well, I'm moving to Colorado, which is very scary. I'm going to have to go Hunter S. Thompson style and get a bunch of guns. Because there's mountain lions and bears. Like in the, you know, I mean, they're everywhere out there.
Did you see The Hangover?
No, I haven't seen it. I heard it's awesome. Tiger?
There's tiger in the bathroom.
Oh, really?
And we were talking to the guys that shot the scene, and they said, yes, we were in the bathroom with that tiger.
I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
And they said they were scared because really you can sort of train wild animals, but not really. They can snap at any moment.
Well, you know, the Siegfried and Roy incident, what I found most fascinating wasn't that, you know, the tiger flipped out and attacked people. Because, you know, you just go, well, okay. You know, you don't really have control over it. You have control over it as long as it allows you to.
Right.
But what was really fascinating to me was that animal was just on a stage. The people were just sitting in the audience. Like, there was no bars. There was no man with a rifle ready to shoot it. I mean, that's incredible.
But it also wasn't attacking.
Yeah.
It also wasn't attacking. I mean, it was supposedly protecting. Oh, you mean it could have. So.
Yeah, I mean, it could have.
At
easily.
Any time.
And they say it was protecting him. It grabbed him by the neck. But, like, come on. They don't know that. That's all guesswork. You know, they're saying.
Absolutely.
They're basing it on tiger, natural tiger behavior. It might have just been pissed off. It might have just, again, this is stupid. Why am I doing this? How about that? That's more fun. Let me bite your face. You know?
I feel better.
I think, yeah, now I feel better. Just drag you off into the backyard. Now I feel better.
I was having a bad time out there. It was interesting having Ed Helms and Bradley Cooper from The Hangover in because, you know, they're never around these big cats. And they said, look, they have a quote-unquote trainer, but basically what that guy does is just get the tiger to the set and back. I mean, the trainer can't really do anything.
If the
tiger decides what he wants to do, you can't stop it.
I've seen way too many YouTube clips where you stand next to a big cat. No way. Yeah, I don't care what you say.
And they were telling us off the air, they throw a piece of meat at it at one point, and they were telling us off the air, the director said, why don't you try and hit it in the head with the meat? And the guy's like, what? You want me to hit a tiger in the head? And he's like, is that safe?
And another thing they said was they were assuming they'd go on set and there'd be a guy with a net gun and a tranquilizer gun just in case.
Right there.
They have like a nylon rope, like it's a leash insane. For a dog, a leash for a dog, and that's it.
God. We were talking about this once when I was here about an area in India called the Sundarbans where 300,000 people have been killed by tigers.
Oh, right.
We talked about this before. I mean, you don't realize how scary those animals are.
Yeah, and strong.
And they're only here for one reason, to get rid of slow stuff. That's what they're here for. And we're the slow stuff. They don't know, but let's not kill the people because people are so smart. That doesn't even enter into their mind.
Yeah.
They're just here to kill anything that they can eat.
I sure wish it did. I sure wish they thought like that.
And they're giant and they have a super metabolism, so they have to kill things every day. I mean, it's so scary. You can just have that thing wandering around.
Go on and put them in cages and try to train them. You know, they had two different tigers on that movie set. Do you remember that? And the one they used the most was an older one who was pretty calm, but they brought in a younger one day, and they were all like, no. Because they said the energy of that tiger was
crazy.
Yeah, that's nutty.
Have you seen the surveyors in India, in the Sundarbans, they wear these helmets that cover their head and their shoulders and the back of their neck because tigers like to attack from the back. So they put masks on the back of this helmet.
So
it looks like you're facing them because tigers like to sneak up on you and scare the crap out of you.
Really?
So they see
They see your eyes in the back of your head, literally, and they think, I can't attack from that side?
Yes, but it worked for a little while until tigers figured it out. See, the crazy thing about tigers is once, they don't know why this works with animal groups, but once one animal figures something out, the other ones figure it out really quickly. So one tiger figured out that was just a mask, and so then they all started jacking people. So now the only thing that protects you is this helmet.
Right.
But 300,000 people have been killed there on record over the last 200 years.
I'm never scared of animals until Rogan comes in.
I know.
We don't have tigers over here. You know, that's why we're not scared of them. But we would be terrified. Tigers and chimps and any wild animal that you know, kills other animals. You know, you got big problems when those things are around. My next-door neighbor down the street, his dog got killed by a mountain lion. Jumped into his backyard and killed the dog and dragged it over the fence.
Oh, my God.
Like last year. And the next-door neighbor, she's just jogging by. She goes, well, you have to think they were here first. That was really her response. I was a monster killed this lady's pet.
Yeah.
You know, if that was a goblin instead of a mountain lion, you would be like, well, we have to get the villagers together and kill the goblin. But it's a mountain lion, so you're like, well, he was here first. He's just an animal.
100 points for the use of goblin.
Right?
Oh, that's strong. I haven't heard that much.
Imagine if he came in the backyard.
Please let us
eat your poodle.
Let us breathe.
Is that code?
And take a break. Joe Rogan is here. We'll come back with one more after this. By the way, Talking Monkeys in Space is the name of the new special. It is on Spike after the Ultimate Fighter finale this coming Saturday night. We'll return in a moment on the Kevin and Bean Show. Joe Rogan is here in studio. Hey, I know what I wanted to ask you, Joe. You're a comedian, and you say things about people in the news. Do you ever run into any kind of problems, any kind of protests, like Mr. Letterman is undergoing right now with the Sarah Palin material? Does that ever happen to you?
No, I've never said anything that's screwed up, I guess. I don't know.
You've said a lot of things that are pretty
screwed
up.
I'm very careful about what I say. No, I've never.
What
nobody
is your
cares.
Take on that?
No one cares. I mean, first of all, he's David Letterman. I'm the Fear Factor guy. Nobody cares what I say. But what my take on it is, you know, I think he made a mistake. I think in his mind, he thought he was talking about the 18-year-old.
Yeah.
He didn't realize the 14-year-old was there.
Right.
But, you know, on the other side, the other side
but
of it
isn't
is...
isn't that the end of the issue?
It should be, yeah. Okay. But, you know, the whole... I mean, I think she's looking for any opportunity whatsoever to stay in the public spotlight, you know, and... That was a scary, scary, scary time in this country. And I think she's one of the reasons why Obama's president. Because I think even racists voted for Obama. Because they looked at her and they went, no. Like, there's no way. This is the other... This is craziness. You know, there's videos online of her getting blessed against witchcraft. Like, she's a part of a ceremony where...
It's a protective blessing?
Yes. Some sort of a preacher character is blessing her against witchcraft attacks. And she's just standing there getting blessed. I mean, she
hasn't been attacked by witches, though.
Not yet, you're right. But neither have I. And I see the fanny pack has saved me from meteors and witches. It's the real issue. It shouldn't be her daughter. You know, like if you're even the 18-year-old. Look, if you're 18 years old, first of all, you're already, you know, it's hard enough being 18, you know. Everyone's dumb when they're 18.
Right.
And then on top of it, your mom is Sarah Palin and you already have a kid.
Yeah.
Like that kid's got problems. Like leave her alone, you know. The real scary thing is her mom. That lady's scary.
Yeah,
she believes the Earth is less than 10,000 years old. And so, first of all, how do they even get to be? How does she get to be president and Arnold Schwarzenegger can't? Because that's not attached either. She's from Alaska. That's like a frozen Puerto Rico. Anything that's not attached to America, if you're not physically attached, that's just some stuff we stole.
So
that's
Hawaii?
All that is. Hawaii's
now, what about
stuff
Hawaii?
We stole. They stuff should be their own country. You should let them be their own country.
Right, but Barack Obama was born in Hawaii, wasn't he?
Yes.
Supposedly. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
but
yeah,
I don't care. I mean, I think Arnold should run for president, too. He should be able to be president. He should screw up the whole country. He screwed up California. Give everybody an opportunity to see what it's like to get an actor running things.
You know?
Again.
Like, I don't get it. He's so good. I thought, so good in the movies.
But, Joe, last question about the Letterman thing, because we keep every day we come in and go, God, this thing has got to be over.
It's getting crazy.
I mean, he's made three apologies, yet there were still people out in front of CBS in New York yesterday with Fire Dave signs that still are, you know, encouraging advertisers to pull out of the show, and they want him fired because of the joke. What's going on?
Well, first of all, the right, you know, I hate the fact that there's a right and a left, but there is an ideology, and there are teams. You know, there's two teams, the liberals and the Democrats. So right now, they're looking for any possible way that this guy is bad. I mean, we dealt with 8 years of Bush, and in comparison, Obama is like our savior. He's super intelligent. He, you know, uses computers, you know, and the big thing, the big knock against him is he's wishy-washy and he uses a teleprompter. Oh, no, he thinks things through and he reads. What a crazy man. Get him out of the office, you know? I mean, we dealt with 8 years of fundamentalist crazy people, and, you know, we're basically like the whole country was hijacked by this crazy pirate ship that everybody sort of went along with.
If he would have turned the White House into a pirate ship, that would have been cool.
Well, Dick Cheney, cool. I always say that Dick Cheney, forget about Al Capone, no one's more of a gangster than Dick Cheney. Dick Cheney shot his friend in the face and his friend apologized. That guy got on TV and he's like, I look like a bird, man.
That was the best thing that's ever happened.
It's not me, it's Dick. I mean, Dick's a good guy, man.
I remember when that story came through, I've never been more thrilled. What? The vice president shot a guy in the face?
Drunk and then didn't talk to the cops for 2 hours.
That's the best.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't have to be there while the cops were there. He got to go in the bunker, recuperate. They probably changed his blood, you know, like in a vampire movie.
The only time I ever saw Kevin more excited than when Cheney shot his friend in the face was when Mike Tyson bit off Evander Holyfield's ear. That was the most excited I've ever seen Kevin.
Well, the only time I've been more excited was when that Ted Haggard guy got busted for being gay.
Yeah. Yeah,
that was the only time.
That was in the public restroom. Was that the tap in the foot?
No, that was Larry Craig. Ted Haggard was the guy who was the head of this gigantic congregation of like 30 million Christians worldwide, and he was all about, you know, stopping the gay agenda. Meanwhile, he's smoking crystal meth and having gay sex with prostitutes that he would get off the internet.
Yeah,
it's just classic. That guy was just.
Did you watch that HBO documentary on what happened to Haggard since then, Joe?
It is so sad
because he got basically banned from the church, and he was there some deal where he promised to move out of Colorado, so he had to leave his house
for a year.
And he went and stayed with supporters in their homes. Oh. I mean, like every month he would go stay with another supporter for a month with him and his family, just driving around in a little van. And he couldn't get work anywhere because he wasn't qualified to do anything. He's been a preacher his whole life.
Well,
he has
no
job skills.
Job where he went in on and, you know, he's like, I think it went well. He goes, it'll be okay unless they Google me.
Right.
Wow.
Have you ever heard of anyone being banned from a state?
Well, he was so ridiculously, outrageously fake.
Right.
I mean, he was everything that they stand against.
Right.
He was doing that.
I agree,
pretending.
But how do you go from, we don't want any part of you, to you have to move out of the state?
Well, they paid him. They
to
paid
go
him.
Away.
Yeah, they gave him some sort of a severance package, and they paid him for like a year. And
yeah,
he
agreed to it.
He
agreed to it.
The state.
Yeah, and then they were, I don't know what else was involved, what else he got out of the deal, but basically they stopped with him. You know
his
what I mean?
His kids like, are what I felt bad for. I mean,
yeah,
sure, Matt, what a terrible roll of the dice.
Yeah.
You know, your dad's a crystal meth smoking, gay prostitute using fake preacher man.
That's not
on
an
TV.
Easy, that's not an easy father to deal with.
Yeah, my dad's a fireman. My dad is.
Do you watch or care about the Lakers?
No, I don't know anything.
You're bad.
I heard
Jonas
they
do
win.
Sports.
I heard they win.
They win. Yes,
the ball went in the hole. Yeah,
it did happen. What were you talking about? Your mom. You and Alex were talking about your mom at some point when you walked in.
Oh, it's just I have a tattoo, a full sleeve. My mom is super daffy. She's a nice lady, but she's just whatever. And she didn't realize
does
that
she
I have this
all,
giant tattoo all over my arm.
Does she have all of her faculties?
She just likes to drink. Yeah, she has all of her faculties.
Okay. Well, I didn't know if she was getting old and
every
Alzheimer's
night,
or
like,
whatever.
Likes, her and my dad likes to get fired up every night. At least three or four. You know,
okay.
not stumbling, but happy every night. They know how to cut it off, but they get up there. And she goes, I didn't realize you had so many tattoos. Then we realized she was over the house for a pool party in July, and I had no shirt on. She just didn't notice. I'm like, how do you not notice? I'm like, how crazy is that?
How many tattoos do you have?
Well, I have two, but one's giant. One's my whole left arm, you know, and for somehow she didn't notice that.
That's like, weird.
That's my mom. I didn't notice.
Is it a true story or just something you made up for the act about your mom walking in on you getting busy?
Oh, yeah, she did when I was 16. I really did. When I was 16, you know, the joke I talk about how there were no cell phones, so nobody knew where anybody was back then. You would just scream when you got home. Anybody home?
Right.
And my mom hated when I did that, so she wouldn't respond. She told me she wouldn't respond. But I forgot she told me that, so I started masturbating because I figured that's what you do when you're 16. You get home, you got the whole house free. And
yeah.
I was on the couch, and she walked into the room.
Oh.
The only thing that saved me was that I had a blanket on, so she didn't actually see it. And so then I came up with this wild excuse, and that's in the
She bought it?
The bit.
I'm wild,
no,
pretend.
No, she didn't buy it at all.
Can we call her?
No.
If you had had a fanny pack on, though, she never would have seen
my
it.
My mom hasn't seen the joke yet. My mom doesn't even know this joke exists. So when the and she went to see me. My parents live in Florida, and she went to see me at the Improv in Tampa, and I didn't do the joke on purpose. And I was like, you know,
what percentage did you change
on this joke?
That was the only joke. That was the only joke.
I just didn't want to deal with it. I just didn't want to talk to her. I don't remember that.
Yeah.
My mom doesn't remember anything. She doesn't remember nothing.
You guys have to see this act. I'm sure it's a great special. Talking Monkeys in Space is what it's called, and it airs this Saturday night. It'll be, what, around midnight, I guess, on Spike after the Ultimate Fighter finale. Would you say that's roughly
the time? I think that's correct.
Yeah. And, you know, catch it as late as possible on Spike because you get to see the uncensored version, right?
Yeah, they're going to have two versions. They're going to have the censored version, which airs, you know, before, I think, 1 a.m., and then the 1 a.m. pass is uncensored.
Sweet.
Fantastic.
Joe, you're the best, man. We always appreciate
you guys are the best, and I always love coming by, too. Thank you always for having me. It's always fun.
Visit Nick Alexander Imports this month for a steal of a deal. Lease an 09 328i for $328 a month on approved credit. Centrally located in the wholesale district. Call 800-800-NICK for details. And remember, Nick can't say no.
That's true.
I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
That's true. We've tested him on that.
Nick is a slut.
He can't. He can't. It's ridiculous.
That's awesome.
It is.
Lisa May can't say no either, by the way.
Exactly. I'm a giggity.
That's why she's doing it together.
It's crazy.
Get right to it. World famous K-Rock at 5 minutes till 8 o'clock. By the way, if anyone is going down to the Lakers championship parade today,
yes.
I did not get a TV on Sunday night during the mini riot. So if anything happens today, I hope, God forbid, if it breaks out and it just goes crazy and it's a free for all, I would like to get a new TV.
What size, if you don't mind?
Well, as big as you can carry.
Okay, all right.
Basically.
Excellent.
All right, it is the Kevin and Bean Show Wednesday morning from the Metal Militia. Our friend Brian Deegan joins us in the 8 o'clock hour. Right now, Ralph is here with the Wednesday morning showbiz beat. What's going on?
Grab me a couch, too, while you're out there, will you?
Couch? You need
a couch.
No problem.
On your back. Remember those guys walking around
with a couch?
He's the best.
The best thing ever. During the riots, the police were being interviewed. They said, we just hope that our presence and, you know, will keep people. Two guys walking behind him with a couch.
Yep.
It was the best moment ever.
Hey, I just want to give you a heads up. If you are a Jack White fan... And I know many of you are. His new group, The Dead Weather, makes its U.S. TV debut tomorrow night on Tonight Show with Conan O'Brien.
Can't wait.
The band will do its debut single, Treat Me Like Your Mother.
Yeah.
I don't even know what that means. Lead singer is Allison Mosshart of The Kills, and Jack's the drummer. Jack White's the drummer of the band.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Listen.
You can do it all.
All right, you're talented. You don't need 75 bands. Do you?
I hate to be the guitar player in that band, knowing that Jack White is sitting behind me thinking, I could do that better.
Yeah. The band, by the way, plays its first gig tonight in Los Angeles at the Roxy.
Oh,
you
no
can
kidding.
Check them out. Whorehound is the name of their debut album. It'll be out on July 14th. So there is your Jack White update. Suck it.
That guy is amazing. When you watch him on stage,
he is a modern-day musical genius.
He really is.
He can do it all. Speaking of music, the Donnas are releasing a Greatest Hits album.
Right.
Greatest Hits Volume 16 is the name, because they've been together for 16 years. See what they did?
Nope. Mm-hmm.
So they called it Volume 16.
Gotta check that out.
Yeah. The album drops on July the 7th. It is two new songs, as well as re-recorded versions of tunes from earlier albums. So some live material, a whole bunch of stuff for you fans of the Donnas.
Wow.
Yeah. You'd be excited about that.
Anyway, it's happening tonight at the...
No.
Wiltern Theater. No, I hope you all have a front row.
That's not
a front row. At the Wiltern Theater on Wiltern and Western.
That's Western?
In Los Angeles.
You don't have a front row. You got a front row seat.
That's not.
You don't have a front row.
Why? I've been behind them for a long time.
Well, get in front of them. Kristen Stewart is dating Rob Pattinson.
They're dating
in our pets?
Oh.
Don't make us have another trial, Dean.
You will go down.
You will lose.
You will get the lethal injection. Star Magazine says Kristen, however, is jealous of Rob's new co-star in his new movie, Remember Me, that he's filming in New York City this summer.
Who is it?
She is Emily DeRaven.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Who you may remember from Lost.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
She played Claire on Lost for many seasons,
yes.
And she's a beautiful young thing.
Yes, she is.
And so Kristen apparently is nervous because Rob hasn't been answering his phone lately, and they are together on set in New York City, and Kristen, meanwhile, is here in the... Southern California area, and so she's getting very nervous about that.
Mm. You know what? She should be, because Pattinson seems to be a guy who really enjoys all this attention from the ladies. He is not trying to keep some distance between him and his crazy fans that are in love with him.
No, that's for sure.
Have you seen that video of him walking down the street with the girls just literally hanging off of him?
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to walk down the sidewalk. It's crazy.
Yeah.
She should be jealous because she's a fug hippie and Emily DeRaven is really hot.
Yeah, that's true. That's why she should be nervous. By the way, you're there. I don't know if this is true or not, but I read in the tabloid that Rob Pattinson is not in the greatest shape in the world. And so they've airbrushed his abs on for the movie, for the second film, for Twilight.
For the whole movie?
Yeah.
Yeah. You couldn't do some sit-ups?
I guess not. You couldn't be bothered to get a six-pack, so they airbrushed a six-pack on him.
Huh.
Nice.
I'm going to do that for me. I want to get all kinds of muscles airbrushed on me if I didn't know that was possible. I want to get them tattooed.
Who would have ever thought that?
Get them tattooed on. And Katy Perry.
Oh!
You know I love Katy Perry. Mm-hmm. However, I'm hard-pressed to back her in this feud she's got going on.
Wow. That's rare.
She is threatening to sue an Australian clothing designer named Katy Perry.
Ah.
Who uses her name, spelled with an I-E as opposed to the Y that the musical Katy Perry uses. Uses her name for a line of clothing and bedding and loungewear and all kinds of stuff. She's had this successful line of loungewear in Australia for 2 years. Mm-hmm. And Katy Perry is threatening to sue her if she continues to use the name. She doesn't want her to use it on her designs or website or advertising or anything else that could be confused with the singer, Katy Perry.
But she had a first.
I kissed a girl.
Well, she's been out for 2 years, which seems like it's about the same length of time that the other Katy Perry has been successful with her music, right?
Yeah.
And it's her given name, by the way. She didn't pick it. Her name is Katy Perry.
Yeah, she didn't take it to create confusion.
Right. It's her name. You got to let her go, right? Sorry.
Yes, she's wrong.
You got to lose.
She's wrong on that one.
And when you lose and you need consolation,
we're here for you.
You know who to come to.
God, she's like famous.
And another lawsuit. Eddie Van Halen is suing Nike because apparently their new Dunk Low sneakers, he claims, stole his trademarked red, black, and white streak pattern that he's been using on his guitar since 1978.
So the pattern of the shoe looks like the guitar?
Yes. I got to back him up on this.
I do, too.
The first
when you see
thing
the pictures,
you do when you
yeah.
see those shoes is... Those
looks
are
like Eddie's guitar?
That's Eddie's guitar, yeah. I mean,
Eddie claims that they didn't have permission to use his design, and it has caused, wait for it, irreparable harm and damage to that design.
Yes, it has.
He wants all of the Dunklow sneakers destroyed. And he wants all profits that have been made to date from the sales of the sneakers to be given to him.
Wow.
Here's
not
the thing.
Charity?
I think he might be getting a bit of pressure because Eddie already has a sneaker line with Converse. Mm. And so I think they're probably cranky about this, too. That's what I'm guessing.
That makes sense. I'd also like to point out, if you want all the profits, don't ask for the shoes to be destroyed.
Right.
Tell them to keep selling the shoes and then give me all the money.
Yeah.
Yeah, I doubt Nike would get on board with that. Probably wouldn't want to sell a bunch of shoes and then give the money to somebody else. But I love that he wants them destroyed.
That is funny. Big bonfire.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Venus Williams is 29 years old today. Actor-comedian Will Forte from Saturday Night Live is 39. Jason Patrick, the actor who stars in that upcoming movie with Cameron Diaz about having a baby to cure the other one of cancer. Have you seen that? Yes. The ads for that commercial?
Yeah. My Little Sister or whatever it's called.
Sister's Keeper.
Right.
That looks like a good time at the movie theater.
That is a comedy.
And I can't tell you how strong a choice it is to have Cameron Diaz do really heavy dramatic roles. It's always a good time in the movies for me. Greg Kinnear is 46 years old today. Thomas Hayden Church, movies, is 48 years old. Bobby Farrelly of the directing Farrelly Brothers is 51. Mark Lynn Baker, he played Cousin Larry on Perfect Strangers. Yeah. He's 55. Comedian Joe Piscopo celebrates his 58th birthday. That's all for the celebrity birthdays
today.
Wait a
minute, hold on. I think there's another very famous multi-Grammy winner
and
entertainer.
Not that anyone here cares about.
Nope, I don't believe
there
is.
There's a very popular singer of many songs that we all love and enjoy.
This is Ralph's thing. Ralph,
yeah, I'm pretty sure. I'm looking at the list. I don't see anybody else on the list.
No one that rhymes with Larry Fanilow? You don't see anyone on the list with a name like that? Or
No one that rhymes with Larry Fanilow. That's for sure.
Are you queer? I guess I was mistaken then.
I guess you were. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Brian Deegan is a true pioneer of freestyle motocross. He knows to stay on top of the sport, the price can be enormous. You've heard the saying, put your life on the line. For Deegan, this has become a way of life.
Backflip from the last time when I crashed and lost my kidney, so it's pretty cool.
I'm dying. Like, I felt in my head, I knew I was dying.
And I'm jumping over four sharks.
Deegan with the 360 on 250 dirt bike.
Metal Militia started as a group of friends that were edgy, core, had character images tattooed up, basically starting a trend of the, I have to say, the 909 scene, and it just was about a group of guys who, I raced Supercross, walked away from the sport of Supercross after winning the LA Coliseum, and started freestyle motocross, but knew there was like a group of guys that just needed a name, and so we thought Metal Militia.
It worked out pretty well for him because he is the most decorated freestyle motocross rider in X Games history. Please welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show our friend Brian Deegan, who joins us. Hey, Brian, how are you, man?
What's up, man?
You kind of blow the mold. For years on this show, Kevin and I have made fun of the 909 area code, which, for folks who don't know, is the worst area code in California. Yet a guy like you comes along and you go, pretty good guy. Pretty hard to hate on him.
Oh, thanks, man. A little gem out of the 909.
It's the Valley of the Dirt People. That's what we call it. But you seem to have risen their status just a little bit. Now, you were mentioning there in that introduction that you lost a kidney or almost lost a kidney. Lose it or didn't lose it?
Yes, the kidney is gone. I was doing Viva La Bam, backflip gone bad in the wind, and it blew my kidney out, lacerated my spleen, lost 4 pints of blood.
Handlebar went right into your stomach?
Yes, it did. It came into my stomach, and it actually popped my kidney.
Forgive my ignorance here, Brian, but what's the function that the kidney provides for the body?
Well, actually, I've learned a lot now.
I'm sure.
And you only need one, so that's good. But it filters your blood. So that's what it does. It actually just lets you get drunk easier.
Oh, I see. If you only have one, that's a nice effect.
So you save money in the long run. It's worth paying to get a kidney removed because then you have to buy half the liquor the rest of your life.
Absolutely.
And you said in the intro, yeah, I lost a kidney, so that was cool. What are you talking about? What do you mean that was cool?
Yeah, well, it wasn't cool at the time because I just remember it was like fighting for my life to survive at that point. But after it was a life-changing experience, it really made me just look at life in a different way. So,
which is, I'm never going to get on a bike again.
That's what the doctors told me. And I did think about that for a few weeks until I got all the tubes out and the staples out and I was back doing backflips.
Yeah, well,
Did you pass out? I don't remember the episode. It's been a couple of years now, but did you pass out when it happened?
Actually, no. And it was one of those things where I crashed and I watched my stomach growing full of blood and I laid there and Bam was like, "Are you all right?" I'm like, "No, dude, this is bad." And I could tell I started fighting, you know, going into shock. And 45 minutes later, a fire truck gets there, and
wow.
they just load me into that, and I'm like, just get me to the hospital.
45 minutes,
there was no medics on staff there, wow. and it was one of those points where you're just like, I started thinking about my life, and all my friends and family, I'm like, there's no way it's going out like this, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
No way.
But the evidence to the contrary, you're sitting there watching your stomach grow with blood.
Yes,
it
Boy,
was, that seems rough.
Scary.
I'm so surprised, especially since it was being filmed for the MTV show, that they didn't have medical personnel standing by, knowing that you were there and you were going to be riding.
Yeah, it was kind of odd. And at that time, I just remember it was real windy. And I told myself, I even told the producers, I'm like, hey, put the medics on the landing. I'm going for it because it's going to be sketchy. And I guess they had some guy who was a part-time EMT. And he
Great.
Was there with like an ice bag. And
Great. He has one of those little bags that you can puncture and then it turns cold.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah, that was it.
Wow. And what was the problem with the ride? Was it you under-rotated the backflip a little bit or what?
Yeah, the problem was that the setup was decent. It was a ramp to dirt and it was just a real gnarly crosswind, and the wind was so bad it just slowed up my rotation as I flipped just enough to send me down on my front wheel into the back side of the landing.
Oof.
So that was it.
So that happened what, back in 2005 or something? Tell me about you have the long period of recovery, and then tell me about the first time you ride again after that. Was it tough for you to get back on the bike?
Yeah, I remember riding with all the guys with the militia, and the compound's in my backyard, so it really motivated me to hear these guys ride every day. And, you know, I was sitting there kind of going, all right, man, it's time to get back on the bike. And I went out there, and it wasn't, you know, 6 to 8 weeks later, I was out back flipping my dirt bike. And to be honest, it was one of the easiest injuries to get over because it wasn't a shattered bone, and it was, you know, it wasn't rods and
right.
You know, pins, and so this was, you know, pull the organ out, sew it up, and let's go.
And let's move on.
Let's move on.
How many other pins and the other stuff do you have in your body?
I just had a big surgery about a year ago and removed most of everything, plate out of my femur, ankle screws, rods, and, you know.
How do they take that stuff out? Did it heal enough that you didn't need it? Or?
Yeah, that's the thing. You just put it in to fix the fracture, and then they take it out, and it's healed, so...
So when you go to an airport, for example, with all that stuff in, they go, all right, what's this in your ankle? What's this in your knee? All right, what's this in your thigh?
For sure, yeah,
what's
definitely.
This in your hip? What about this in your head?
Definitely.
It seems like how's the scar? How's the scar, Brian?
Which one?
The one, okay. The biggest and best.
The biggest and best would be my stomach scar, for sure, where they did the exploratory surgery, pulled all my organs out, laid them out on the table. That was the biggest scar. And then the one on my leg from my femur where I broke in 4 spots.
Mm.
Wow.
And this is a man who still continues to ride and still continues to compete, by the way.
Yes.
That we're listening to.
We are such pussies.
Yeah. No kidding.
You know?
Brian Deegan is here. He's going to be in the Lucas Oil Off-Road Racing Series, not this weekend but next, out at the Lake Elsinore Motorsports Complex. That's in Lake Elsinore. Tickets are available at the box office on-site only. Only $15 to $30 to see that, by the way, which is amazing. What are you going to be driving this time?
I'll be racing the Unlimited Light class, and I'm top 3 in the points right now, and this is my first full season. My goal is I want to win a championship in this series. It's awesome. You know, 800-horsepower trucks jumping 100 feet. It's just chaos, and we're smashing into each other, and it's just like crash-up derby out there. So it's a good transfer for me, and I'm in a roll cage, so that's good.
That sounds like so much fun and so much safer than your life used to be.
I remember when we talked to you about making the transition from the bikes to the rally cars, and that's what you told us at the time is it seems, I mean, in a lot of ways, it's easier, right?
Yeah, and the thing is, once you have a roll cage around you, you have a little less fear, and you go out there and you're like, all right, now I just have to learn this sport. And that's been my biggest challenge, is racing against these older guys who've been in it for a long time, is trying to figure out what's the tricks, how do you get the truck to do what you want, and it's a lot heavier piece of machinery, so the thing is, it's a learning curve right now.
Are you less safe because you have a roll cage? I mean, do you go, hey, I'm good.
I can try this. I gotta.
Oh yeah,
I'm safer.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, and that kind of is like when I raced rally. Like the trucks get going pretty fast. And you get a lot of air, but rally cars, which I've been doing also, is like 100 some miles per hour through the woods with just wide enough for a car. And there's redwood trees on one side, cliff on the other. That's
excellent.
Gnarly.
Yes.
Even in a roll cage, God. That's gnarly.
I could do that course at about 10 miles an hour. because, I mean, how fast do you really want to go if you're trying to thread the needle between trees while you're doing it?
As fast as you can.
Yeah, well, that's the difference between you and us again. Yeah. Brian Deegan is here. It's next weekend, June 27th and 28th, Lake Elsinore Motorsports Complex. We'll take a quick break and come right back.
The founder of the Metal Militia is back on the program. Our friend Brian Deegan is here. You can catch him not this, but next weekend. He's out in Lake Elsinore at the Motorsports Complex there. Tickets available on site for the Lucas Oil Off-Road Racing Series. And you're doing more than just racing out there, Brian. You got some other stuff lined up, too.
Yeah, there's a freestyle motocross demo by the Metal Militia. Some of the best riders in the world are going to be there that have won X Games medals. And there's guys like Todd Potter, Ox, and Jimmy Fitzpatrick. A lot of the top dudes would be out there doing backflips and 360s. And
I got to tell you, for people who don't go to a lot of events, maybe you think watching it on TV is good enough. It's mm-hmm. so much more amazing in person.
Yeah, I imagine.
You watch it, go, wow, they're so high.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
That's like, the thing that doesn't translate, I don't think, as well on television is how high up off the ground you guys are.
Yeah, it's a great sport to watch live, and that's fortunately good for me. So,
but Brian, let me ask you this. What's left in freestyle? I know that you guys are creative guys, and you challenge each other, and you're always looking for something new. But at some point, is there anything left to be done up there?
You know, there is, and the thing is every year, during my favorite event's Best Trick to watch. That's the one where that's original freestyle. Laying it down, one big trick, shut the next guy down, and this year, we're going to see front flip 360s, double backflip combos. It, you know, is it over? No. It's
that's
just
the way
getting
it goes.
Going.
The, first, it was the double flip, and then everybody was like, that's it. I've seen it all. Now it's not enough to do a double flip.
No.
Now you got to add some tricks to it in the middle of it.
Absolutely. And there's guys that are going to be doing the double backflip in their normal freestyle run now.
In their normal
wow.
run?
Yeah, in their normal camp.
Just as
player,
one
yeah.
of the many. Wow.
Yep.
All right, so you
what
got
about
the race.
A triple? Are you going to try a triple?
You know what?
Don't
people
say
have
yes.
talked about
don't
it.
Don't say yes. I was just kidding.
Yeah, just need a, like a street bike motor, and it'll be good.
Now you just got to figure out a way to get even higher if you want to do a triple, right? Yeah, I mean, you need to be shot out of a cannon, basically.
Exactly.
Is what you gotta do. All right, so there's the freestyle demo, there's the race, and then let's talk music. This is a new area for you. What's the Metal Militia up to?
Right now, we've done a Metal Militia song, and it's something I've always wanted to do. Like, ever since I've been started freestyle motocross, I've been into heavy metal, and that's been my whole image was, Metallica and Slayer and all that stuff. And we're like, one day I'd love to do a song that just represented the Militia. And luckily, I was able to meet a buddy, Joel Miller, who helped me put together this song that we sat down and wrote the lyrics, and I think it turned out pretty good.
Now, is this you singing?
Actually, Joel's singing the leads.
That's
and,
probably a good choice.
We're singing the chorus. Me, Bo, and Colin from the Militia. The guys that I thought would fit the part the best. And yeah, I'm not a singer. I'll admit it.
Now, Joel is here in the studio with us right now, too. Joel, you buried their backup vocals just as deep down into the mix as you could, right?
No, I didn't want to. And honestly, Brian did pull off some really good backup vocals. I just got to go back to the guy that did the mix, and we're going to, you know, put him in a chokehold and get those pulled up.
We would like just his part.
Yeah.
Can you send
if
that
you
over?
Guys want that, I got to get his clear.
You know how that,
there you go.
Every once in a while you hear a singer that doesn't know they're being recorded or whatever, that's the best. Here's a little clip of the song.
We will ride and we'll fly.
And then at some point you jump over him while he's playing that?
The music video is next, so that's what, you know.
It's going to be more like the We Are the World scene, though. Like that total thugged out tattooed.
Joel, did you already have an existing band? You already had something going?
Yeah, I'm in a band called Your Machine. And
Your Machine.
We also love to, you know, rock out, and, you know, those are the guys performing. And
how'd you meet Brian?
We always were in the same area. I grew up in Temecula High School, so I grew up, you know, sporting the militia gear and, you know, supporting my friends. And, you know, it's just really like we just finally met through friends that knew each other. So.
And when he told you he wanted to do a song, what was your first thought?
I was pumped. You know, I already had in my head, I had this riff, you know, that was just, you know, if you hear it, it's just total metal. And, you know, in my head when I wrote the riff on my little drum machine in my little garage studio, the Metal Militia came through my mind a little bit.
Is that
I was
right?
Like, this is a song for a crew of dudes or a bunch of pissed off people that want to, like, you know, just say what we're about, or, you know, get a group of people excited. And I think their show with that song and the fans, the reaction, it should be really, really exciting.
That's cool. Well, Brian, now you got a theme song. Anytime you ever go anywhere, you got, like, that's your Hail to the Chief. That's what they got to play when you walk into the room.
Exactly. The band will just follow me around.
Like wrestlers when they come into music. That's what they got to do everywhere you go.
Well, it sounds like a great event out at beautiful Lake Elsinore, June 27th and 28th at the Lake Elsinore Motorsports Complex. The tickets are available at box office on-site only. Only the top ticket is $30, by the way, which just, I mean, for the entertainment you're going to provide all day long, that's a value right there. And you can get all the details, of course, either through the racetrack or at Brian's website at briandegan.com. And Joel, you got your band got the website too. Is it yourmachine.com? Is that right?
Yeah, yourmachinerocks.com or yourmachinerocks / or, you know, MySpace / yourmachinerocks.
Gotcha. Oh. Great of both you guys to come and have a fantastic time out there next weekend, all right?
Thanks.
Thanks. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q.
Turn your mic on?
It is on.
Turn your mic on.
My mic is on.
Seriously, turn your mic on.
It was on. That was weird.
It's good.
Can you turn my mic on? Oh, there it is. Okay, my mic's on
it's,
too.
It's 8:46.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. So, Ralph, there's a point at which a bad movie goes all the way back around and becomes good. Is this one of those?
This is one of those. Okay. I forget how the conversation came up. How did we start talking about Staying Alive last week?
I don't remember.
You were talking about them making a remake of it, I think, weren't you?
No, we were talking about the remaking Saturday Night Fever with Zac Efron as Tony Manero, which is totally believable. And I guess we were talking about that show and then talked about the 1983 sequel Staying Alive, which is... according to Entertainment Weekly magazine, the worst movie sequel of all time.
Wow.
That's saying something.
But I think you'd be hard-pressed to find a sequel that drops in quality as severely from the first film to the sequel as Staying Alive does to Saturday Night Fever.
So it's time for Ralph's Video Vault.
Welcome to Ralph's Video Vault.
1977, Saturday Night Fever turned... the movie world on its head, made John Travolta a household word, introduced disco to a lot of people who had never heard of it before. It was a cultural phenomenon as well as a wildly successful and critically acclaimed movie about the story of a bunch of Brooklyn lowlifes who find the only sort of redeeming quality in their lives at the dance club where they go to. And they're really lowlifes, and they screw these women and they treat them poorly, and they're just douchebags of the nth degree. But it was a really interesting slice of life of film with some great characters and some great performances. John Travolta was nominated for a Best Actor Academy Award for his performance. And 6 years later, they decided to make a sequel, and Sylvester Stallone put his stink all over the Saturday Night Fever legend.
He was in it?
He wasn't in it, but he wrote and directed the film. So the powers that be must have said, hey, we'll get the guy from Rocky. That's a successful movie. And we got the guy from Saturday Night Fever. Let's let them make the sequel.
Wow.
And so what Sylvester Stallone did basically was make Rocky in the Broadway dancing world. Tony Manero has gone from a low-life Brooklyn disco dancer. He moves to Manhattan to try to become a Broadway dancer.
Ah.
To use his dancing skills to become a big star. And he's struggling in Manhattan, living in a flop house, teaching dance at a dance studio, where his girlfriend, Jackie, his wholesome girl-next-door girlfriend, is teaching aerobics classes.
Okay.
And here he comes in from yet another failed audition. He can't get a job. And his girlfriend, Jackie, at the dance studio... pulls him aside. Oh, sorry. This is the theme song from the movie. You may have recognized it. It's the song that Frank Stallone performed.
Sylvester's brother.
And Frank gets quite a bit of work in this movie. He gets a lot of work writing and singing songs, and he also plays one of the roles in the film.
He's an actor, too?
He's an actor, too, in the movie, yeah. Here's the scene I was talking about. This is Jackie asking... See, Tony's got a sad face when he comes to work.
Aww.
Tony!
typical.
What do you mean?
I turned him down.
Oh, come on. What happened, really?
He didn't get the job! That's what happened.
Say it. Say it out loud. I want to hear you say it so that you break down.
But he also works as a bartender at a nightclub. As a cocktail waiter, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And he is loved by all the ladies there. He's banging all kinds of ladies. Even though he's got a girlfriend, he treats her badly. And he's banging all these girls at work.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this one girl who he's been banging for a while. He doesn't want to see her anymore. And so he tries to blow her off.
We on later?
No, I can't make it.
Why not?
Because lately I've been career-oriented.
And what's that supposed to mean?
It means that I don't have time for meaningful relationships right now.
Is that right? Well, let me tell you something. Guys like you aren't relationships. You're exercise.
Yeah.
Wow. You're
good dialogue,
good acting.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something.
And that hurts Tony to the quick. He realizes he's living an empty, meaningless life. So he goes to the Broadway show where his wholesome girlfriend Jackie is in the chorus line. And he goes to watch the show. And by the way, the Broadway shows in this movie never existed. It's just people dancing wildly to music. There's no storyline. There's no singing. There's no acting. It's just dancing. And he really falls for the girl who's the lead in the show. So he's going to cheat on his girlfriend again, but this time with the lead, because she's a big star dancer on Broadway. And he comes on to her, and she responds, and they decide that they're going to, go back to her place, her wealthy apartment, and have some sex.
If you appreciate me, and I appreciate you, how about let's get it together, and maybe we could appreciate each other.
Appreciate?
Yeah, like for many hours.
Well, I do have a scene that's not have to cancel.
That's all right. I got a dance class I'd have to cancel.
And then I'd have to cancel my manicure.
I'd have to cancel my meeting with the mayor.
And then I'd have to cancel my yoga class.
It's all right. I'd have to cancel my brain operation.
Yeah.
What?
These are the jokes, folks.
What?
These are the jokes.
I do dance.
What?
Who was that chick? Fiona Hughes.
Yeah. Who later went on to star in General Hospital, but she is quite the hot British singer and dancer. Not so much actor.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, so she bangs Tony, and she puts in a good word for him with the choreographer of her new Broadway show, Satan's Alley.
That's the name of her Broadway?
Satan's Alley.
The
story of a man who goes to hell, then gets redeemed and sent up to heaven.
Come on.
Because he's in Satan's Alley. And Tony auditions for the show, and he's sitting by the Flophouse phone when this phone call comes in.
Yes, I got it? You're kidding me. When do I start? What time? Where? All right, thank you. I'll be there. Way to go, Monero!
Way to go, Monero!
That's himself?
That's himself, yeah. I was talking to myself in the third person there. So he starts working on Satan's Alley in the chorus. And Jackie, his girlfriend, also is in the chorus. And the star is this hot British chick who he's been banging, right?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And he's crazy about her. He's in love with her. But she doesn't care, man. She's cold. She's cold as ice. She's banging a lot of guys.
Right.
And he gets jealous. And he confronts her. He says, what about the night we spent together? What does that mean to you?
We did. It don't mean nothing to you?
It was nice.
Oh, nice. Like something like you do every day, like having breakfast.
I usually skip breakfast.
Ha!
Oh, wow. Bird!
Yeah!
No,
bird.
She didn't.
Skips breakfast! And even though Tony's screwing around, he's still jealous of his wholesome girlfriend, Jackie, because she's in a band with Frank Stallone. With Sylvester Stallone's brother.
It was a terrible idea for a movie.
And so nothing happens in this film, by the way. Just people yelling at each other, basically. And there's no story here.
Yeah.
And so he gets jealous because he sees Jackie talking to Frank Stallone, Stallone's brother, right? And then this conversation goes on.
Sorry, is everything all right? Everything is fine. She's in good hands. Hey, what are you, all state, pal? Yeah, you want disability?
Oh!
Yeah!
Oh,
yeah! Yeah!
What are you, all state, pal? You want disability? Yeah!
Sylvester Stallone wrote this?
Go, Tony. Yeah. Everybody talks like Rocky in this movie. They're all idiots.
They do.
Basically. Well, Tony gets an opportunity to become the lead in the Broadway show.
Yeah.
I wonder if Rocky Balboa had a chance to fight Apollo Creed for the championship. So Tony gets a chance to take the place of the guy who's the lead in Satan's Alley.
Uh-huh.
And he auditions for the choreographer in front of the other dancers, and he misses a step, and everyone laughs at him. And he says, that's it, man. And he walks out. He walks out because no one laughs at Tony Monero.
Wait. He got the lead?
Well, he's auditioning for the lead in front of the rest of the chorus. He steps out of the chorus to try the dance part.
Right.
And everyone sort of laughs because he blows a dance move. And he gets so frustrated that he storms out. But the choreographer chases after him because he needs him for his Broadway show. And he's going to set him straight. And the choreographer, who is a dead ringer for Kenny Loggins, just screams at Tony Manero and tries to set him straight in what must have been a page-long speech. And no one talks this way.
I give you a chance for leading a Broadway show, and you walk out the door.
Who cares?
Who cares? Nobody has to care. In this business, I don't have to care about you. And you don't have to care about me. And if you can't follow that, follow this. You want to dance here? You follow my rules. It's not a democracy. You know, you are not the greatest dancer to ever hit Broadway. What you have is anger and a certain intensity, and that's what I need to make this show work.
Everybody uses everybody, don't they?
Go to hell, Manero.
Yeah! But then Tony comes back in, and he auditions, and he gets the lead in the Broadway show. His very first Broadway show, he's the star.
But he just walked out.
But he walks back in.
But why did he walk out then?
Because he wasn't going to come back.
But he did.
And he storms in. The door's open, and he comes back, and he auditions, and he gets it. He nails it.
Yeah.
And now he's starring opposite the smoking hot British chick who blew him off.
Uh-oh.
And he went back to his wholesome girlfriend who stood by him even during the tough times.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But now that he's the star, the British chick is now back interested in him again.
Ah,
she wants him.
See how that works.
And so opening night, backstage, in between acts, she corners him and tries to seduce him. Don't they have bigger things to worry about on opening night?
On opening night, yeah.
Like getting back on stage and dancing to Satan's Alley? So here she is trying to suggest they get back together.
Do you think we could get together after the show?
Why?
I just want to talk. Clear things up.
I've got other commitments.
Oh, Tony, just one more thing.
What?
You don't have it.
You don't have it.
You don't have what?
It. It's star quality.
The worst thing you could say.
You don't have it. You don't have what it takes.
This is during the show, she says
yes.
This to him?
Yes.
Oh, wow, that seems unkind.
See, because she turned him down. Now, her feelings are hurt, so she burns it with you don't have it.
Wow.
Well, Tony Manero will show her who has it and who doesn't have it, because in the climactic dance in Satan's Alley, Tony Manero, on opening night in a big-budget Broadway show, decides to improvise, takes her, spins her around, and throws her off the stage.
That did not happen.
It happens. He's got her in a spin, and he tosses her to the wings of the stage. And you hear her bouncing, going, and then he goes into an impromptu, what seems like 12-minute improvised dance solo on stage on Broadway opening night.
That happens on Broadway, by the
here
way.
Here he is, sure, tossing her off stage.
Tommy, what are you doing?
Solo.
That's the choreographer there. I didn't tell him to do a solo.
What's going on here?
Goes into his impromptu improvised dance solo.
It's very common on Broadway, Ralph. You don't know.
Happens every opening night. Usually someone will just go off and start improvising their own dance number. And of course, the crowd goes wild.
Sure, they love it.
Of course they do.
The people love him.
Sure.
And he becomes a huge Broadway star.
Of course.
And at the end of the film, he's leaving his girlfriend, but he needs some time alone. And he says what is one of the gayest things ever said in any movie, anytime.
Gotta go!
Where are you going?
I don't know. I just feel like if I don't get out of here, I'm going to explode.
Are you sure you don't want to stay?
I can't. Look, I'm going to tell you something. I know, and I want you to know that I could have never done this tonight without knowing you. You know what I want to do?
What?
Strut.
There it is.
Strut.
There it is. Pushes open the backstage door and starts strutting down the street to Staying Alive by the Bee Gees, just like he did in the first film.
You know how what I want to do?
Strut. Strut. And he does. And Tony Manero is a star.
No wonder that was voted the worst sequel of all time.
It is inexplicable. And in between all the bad and horrible dialogue and direction, there are interminably long dance sequences to 80s music with women in blue eyeshadow and guys wearing bandanas or skinny bandanas around their foreheads.
Wow, better you watch that than me.
It was so much worse than I possibly could have remembered.
Elisa, world famous K-Rock, 902. That's our show. Thanks for tuning in.
Sorry with me. Take her home.
Ralph is here with a brief look at the show biz beat on a Wednesday morning.
Megan Fox is single. Lenny Kravitz is celibate. Sean Penn has dropped out of the Three Stooges movie. Today's celebrity birthdays. Venus Williams is 29. Will Forte He's got a birthday. A bunch of people have birthdays. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Yesterday on the Kevin and Bean Show, we did Breakfast with Incubus. If you were not able to be with us, you can watch it at krock.com. You can stream it. You can listen to it. And it's available there for the next few days. You ought to check it out. Nicole Alvarez has some Incubus coming up next as part of 40 Minutes Nonstop KROQ. But first, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat for a Wednesday afternoon. What's going on?
Got a remake update.
A remake update.
You may remember I mentioned that they are remaking... This is just sad when a classic gets remade, when a movie that is perfect as it is gets remade. But Red Dawn is being remade.
Yeah.
Red Dawn.
Yeah, it's hard to top the version they did originally.
The chair is up against the wall.
Go Wolverines!
That was a terrible movie.
It's horrible. And they're going to remake one, which I predict will be just as good.
But they'll try and make it good this time, and that's not what we want.
They tried to make it good the first time.
No, but they missed by so far.
I think, don't worry, these people are going to miss plenty. It'll be fine.
Frank has a long mustache.
Chris Hemsworth was in the cast, I mentioned that. And now Josh Peck and Adrian Palicki will also be joining the cast. Adrian Palicki was
a lot of bells.
One of the stars of Friday Night Lights.
She's Tyra.
One of the girls.
She deserves a lot of bells, Kevin. You got to check her out.
And Josh Peck, of course, from the legendary Peck family.
I don't know. I loved his song "Loser." That's all I know about him.
That's Beck. It's different.
Oh, then I'm out.
Josh will play Matt Eckert, the role originated by Charlie Sheen, the hot-headed younger brother of Patrick Swayze.
Yes.
And Palicki will play Tony, the role first inhabited by Jennifer Grey in the original. So after this film, she will quickly get a nose job and be unrecognizable. That's what I'm predicting. So there's your Red Dawn update.
You understand is your wish that Patrick Swayze survives to see this remake, or would it just be best for him to go before it comes out?
Is it still going to be the same topic where the Russians
instead of
shooting?
Cold War era Russians invading America, it terrorists. Might be terrorists, Kevin. I'm just guessing.
They parachute right into the middle of our country.
Or it may be an army from Uruguay.
One of the two.
One of those two, right. Yeah. Because, you know, you got to look out for the Uruguayans.
They're tough.
They're scary.
They are.
You know what's going on there right now, but you don't want to know.
They'll F you up.
They will. More movie news. Shia LaBeouf told a British talk show host that Steven Spielberg is, in fact, gearing up Indiana Jones 5. Indiana Jones and the Lost Colostomy Bag, who will be called as Indy wheels his way through another adventure. Apparently, he has cracked the story, according to Shia, and the movie is getting prepped. So, and
that sounds unnecessary.
The next couple of years, we will get to see more of our childhood fantasies dashed by Steven Spielberg and crew as I watch Harrison Ford doddering around.
Can someone else go over the ending and just make sure that it's...
Boy, was that last one rough.
Really, it was okay for me because I wanted it to be good. But then when you got to the end, you couldn't even hang if you wanted to.
No.
No.
It was rough.
No, it was...
It was bad.
It was bad, but the spaceship with the alien heads and everything was just nuts.
That was just stupid.
It's a middle finger to the fans is what it is.
That's what it was. True. Yeah. Lenny Kravitz is not getting laid these days, and that's the way he wants it.
That's why he doesn't wash his hair?
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry? Would you mind gracing us with that again?
Would you like to take that back?
Come on.
Would you like to take that back?
Say yes. Say yes.
Just say yes and save us the time and later.
I would like to take that back, please.
That's not going
to
save us the time later. We got to bank that.
He took a vow of celibacy 4 years ago.
What?
Why?
He has not bled the brake lines with someone else in 4 years.
Okay.
Because he said he wanted to wait until he's found the right woman before he goes to bed with her. This is a guy who boned Madonna, Nicole Kidman, Kylie Minogue, Lisa Bonet, and many, many, many others. But now he's waiting for the right woman. Hmm. Do yourself a favor. Keep yourself busy while you're waiting. Stay in practice. Look.
Yeah.
Look, Kobe doesn't stop going to practice just because not every game is in the finals.
That's right.
You
know? True.
You got to play the whole season before you get to the championship.
Even in the off season, you have
even
to stay
in
shape.
Even the off season,
go through the motions.
You got to practice.
I thought the right woman is the woman who will agree to have sex with you.
Well, of course you did, but Lenny, I guess, has better choices than you, and so he has opted to go the high road, which is
the dry road
madness. And apparently, Joe Jonas is not too pleased with Taylor Swift, his ex, Taylor Swift. Speaking of not having sex.
Yeah.
Speaking of celibacy. Jonas has a new song called Much Better. And in the lyrics, He says the following. I'm done with superstars and all the tears on her guitars. Yeah.
Is that a reference to one of her songs?
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow. He's done with her, man.
That's brutal.
Hey, you remember all the times we didn't have sex? Well, now we're not going to have sex. Booyah! That's what he's saying.
Is that going to destroy her?
Or? There's no possibility, and I haven't heard the song, but there's no chance that a song called Much Better is a good song, right?
No. No. I was watching Larry King Live last night because our pal Kathy Griffin was on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they were showing the just elongated teaser for Larry's upcoming evening with the Jonas Brothers.
Yes.
And I am not familiar with their milieu, with their work, with their...
It's child pop.
It's not good. I'll tell you that much.
It's 11-year-old girl pop.
I heard my first Jonas Brothers music while watching that trailer for the upcoming episode, and it is bullshit. That's what that is. It's horrible.
But at least they're good singers.
No,
wait a minute.
Not.
No, they're not. They're terrible singers.
They're not good, and the songs are bad.
Yeah, there's that.
I mean, I can give you a certain amount of bubblegum pop for the kids because some of it actually is sort of likable. You know, it's sort of catchy.
Just
and stuff.
Generic, catchy,
generic,
pop,
catchy
yeah.
stuff, of course. But this is craptastic. Their stuff. How do you explain it? Because they're cute Muppets.
So what's Larry King doing with the Jonas Brothers? That
he's going
seem
to
like
have
a good
an in-depth
fit.
Interview with the Jonas Brothers. He's going to get, he said, unparalleled behind-the-scenes access. That's what he's got. Apparently they're going to feed him tapioca and put him down for a nap. So they come
Larry
in very
King.
Handy.
He's going to bring the stories, I'll tell you. He'll
so,
get
Jonas's. What's with the celibacy? And Green Day bassist Mike Dirnt has a new shoe line. He has made a shoe line for the shoemaker Macbeth. Are you familiar with Macbeth?
I'm not.
They make vegan shoes.
Shoes that don't eat meat?
That's right. Now, they are shoes that are not made with any animal byproducts whatsoever.
Hmm.
The shoes are called 45 RPM Schuberts. And you can pick them up.
This is the
at your nearest Macbeth dealer.
Tom DeLonge brand, I think.
Macbeth is Tom DeLonge's brand?
I believe.
I did not know that. Apparently, Mike himself is not a vegan. He's got a restaurant near San Francisco called Rudy's Can't Fail, named after the Clash song.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very meat-friendly there.
Okay.
As is Lisa May. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Tennis star Venus Williams is 29 years old. Actor-comedian Will Forte from Saturday Night Live. He is 39. Jason Patrick, who I also, if I'm not mistaken, was in the original Red Dawn.
How about that? Comes full circle.
I think he was. 43 years old. Greg Kinnear turns 46. By the way, if he wasn't in it, don't bother emailing.
No.
I'll find out between now and the time you email.
Ralph doesn't care enough. Even if he wasn't, he doesn't care.
If he wasn't, I really don't care. So don't bother correcting me. Save your time. Save my time. Let's all think positive thoughts. Think globally, act locally. That's what I say.
I don't know what that means.
I don't either. Greg Kinnear is 46 years old today. Thomas Hayden Church,
movie,
is 48. Bobby Farrelly of the directing Farrelly Brothers turns 51. Cousin Larry from Perfect Strangers, Mark Lynn Baker, celebrates his 55th birthday today. Speaking of Mark Lynn Baker, and I neglected to mention this morning when we were talking about him. If you've never seen a movie, a little-known comedy called My Favorite Year, starring Mark Lynn Baker and Peter O'Toole, do yourself a favor and rent it. It is one of my favorite comedies ever.
Nope.
You will enjoy it, Kevin.
What year did it come out?
I don't know, like the 80s sometime.
Now.
But it was an excellent film.
It is an awesome movie.
And you will enjoy it enormously.
Nope.
I promise you.
Nope.
Take my personal guarantee. Just watch the movie.
No.
All right. Joe Piscopo, he was to be on Saturday Night Live. He is 58 years old today. And that's it for celebrity birthdays.
No one
June
else?
15th.
That's
no
it.
Very
that's
popular Jewish entertainers, multi-Grammy, Oscar-nominated singers you can think of that play Vegas a lot?
Nope.
Oh, yes, Jaime Horowitz.
Yes.
The legendary cellist, Jaime Horowitz.
Not who I was thinking of.
Celebrates his birthday today.
I guess I got wrong information.
Barry Manilow celebrates his 63rd birthday.
This is the part where Bean acts like he's not gay, but he sure loves Barry Manilow because it drives us all crazy because he likes them
Barry's
so much.
Because
he says he's the best.
Barry Manilow really is the soundtrack for gay.
That's
if you
correct.
Put that music on, immediately the first thing you think is, wow, that's gay.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with being gay, but plenty wrong with Barry Manilow.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just weak music.
That's real talk right there, man.
Thank you, Queenie. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.